You know, I just come off stage at one of the big blues shows, and a lady come up to me, she said, "Mr. Rob, I gotta ask a favor of you." I said, "What is it, sis?" She said, "Before we leave tonight, would you have a little moment of prayer with me?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I ain't got no problem with that." I said, "But what we gonna be praying about?" She said, "Well, Mr. Rob, I'm just going through it." She said, "I'm catching hell right now." She said, "My sons, they've been out there fooling with them drugs and trying to thug and about to go to penitentiary. And my daughter, she got two babies and she ain't taking care of them, so I got to step in and do what's right." She said, "And then I met this guy, he's a real nice guy," she said, "but he lied to me. I didn't know he had nobody, so now I'm living the life of being a side piece," she said. "I wasn't raised like that, Mr. Rob, and to be honest, I just feel so ashamed, kind of like depressed," she said. "Then my friend girls, they talk about me so bad," she said, "it's like I'm even scared to go to church, cause folks around here, they just been whispering and everybody know my business." I said, "You tell them all one thing.
Please don't judge me.
Stop
please
trying don't
to judge
me.
Me.
God is not finished
with
me yet.
He's
still working
don't
on us all.
Judge me.
Don't you
please
try
don't
to judge me. No.
God's not finished with
He's
me.
Not God's not finished with me yet." You know, I once heard a song saying, "Sweep around your own front door." And that's a true statement.
Don't judge me.
If we spend more time lifting each other up than tearing each other down,
no,
the world will be a better place, you feel me? You know, it was about 7:30, 8 o'clock one morning, and we was on our way leaving one town, going to another city. We pulled over to get some gasoline. There was a brother that was out there asking folks for money, trying to get something to eat. He saw we had those Big Rob t-shirts on. He said, "Oh man, Big Rob, Big Rob, which one of y'all Big Rob? I love Big Rob music." He even started trying to sing one of the songs. I said, "Thank you, brother." Then we began to have a conversation. He began to tell me about his life. In the middle of the conversation, he just got this real strange look on his face. And he stopped for a second. Tears start falling out of his eyes. He said, "Mr. Rob, I ain't always been broke down like I is now." I said, "Bro, I understand." He said, "Man, I see people I went to school with, my family members." He said, "Man, they so ashamed of me. I asked them to help me get something to eat." He said, "Man, not so long ago, I used to be the one that was feeding them." He said, "But it's like they just forgot about me." He said, "Man, I get some time in the pen. A lot of things I'm ashamed of." He said, "But I ain't the same person that I used to be. But it's like they won't give me a chance to prove that I done changed." He said, "But I swear I done changed, Mr. Rob." I said, "Man, you got to keep your head up." And that's my message to everybody out there today. Don't let the haters steal your joy.
Please don't judge me.
Tell them, please don't judge me.
Don't try to judge me.
You never know what a person has been through that makes them be where they at right now. Just cause you might not have been hungry, how you gonna look down your nose at somebody that is hungry? I'm just saying.
I may not be all that I wanna be,
sang Curtis.
But thanks be to God, y'all.
Thank you, Jesus.
That I'm better than I used to be.
Than I used to be.
I may not have it going on,
sang Kurt Foster.
Like this person or that person. But I've learned to be thankful
for
what I got
like giving up, or you done gave up and you're too scared to get up from where you're at. God's not finished with you yet. And to those of you out there that like to steal people's joy, stop hating. I say it again. To the people out there that like to steal people's joy, stop hating.
Please don't judge me. Luke 6:37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Don't judge a book by its cover. You've heard that before. Why do we judge people as soon as they hit the stage? What I mean is, as soon as we enter the world, people judge us. People talk about us behind our back, in front of our face, and after we're gone. Welcome, worldwide listeners, to Miss Inez Says. Let's talk about it. Don't judge me. Let's talk about why we judge others on Don't Judge Me by dialing in at 845-241-9985. Again, that number is 845-241-9985. I am your hostess, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of On Ice Aqua Design. And you can listen or join in, log into the chat room too, or just go ahead and call at 845-241-9985 this evening, Tuesday, January 17th, 2023. On Miss Inez Says, let's talk about it. Don't judge me. Why do we judge? Let's get right into it. I want to find out right along with you. I, of course, you know me, I'm a Googler, so what I Googled about judging people and being judged and so on and so forth, I found Shola Richards on www.SholaRichards.com, Judging Others. What Judging Others Reveals About You? For some reason, people love to judge other people. Judgment can be an ugly thing. Yes, it can be an ugly thing. Judgment can be an ugly thing. The truth about judgment, she says, when you judge others, you do not define them. You define yourself. That's Earl Nightingale who said that. And I thought that's true because, you know what? We look at people like, look at her looking like that. Look at him. How come this and how come that? Why is this and why that? We usually judge others in areas where we feel the weakest. That is so true. We feel the weakest because we can talk about how other people look and feel because that's how we want to look and feel. I know that. I know we're all guilty, so come on, let's talk about it. Seriously, think about it. If you're being honest with yourself, I'm sure you can relate. Be real with me, all right? Do you know anyone who is completely secure with themselves who also consistently and harshly judges other people? That's because our judgments reveal our soft spots, our insecurities, and our weaknesses. And usually we harshly judge others because we do the same to ourselves. We judge us, oh, golly, look at that big old pimple on my face. Oh, why am I so fat? Oh, my gosh. Look at my arms. Oh, look at my stomach. Oh, girl, why am I so this and why am I so that? Why this and why? Why am I two-faced? Well, because we judge people. Because that's why. And usually we harshly judge others because, like I said, we do the same about ourselves. Yes, we do. Here's how we can change that. It's not possible to live a life where we never judge anyone ever. Dude, as soon as we get up in the morning, oh, man. Do I have to go into work and look at so-and-so? Oh, gosh, do I have to hear him or her chit-chat and just talk about this and talk about that? You know how we are. Man, if that baby wasn't so ugly, you know how we talk about babies and, oh, they're so cute. Just to say the truth, it's ugly. Yes, babies can be ugly, even though they may be cute. but they're not really cute. You just say, oh, thank you for showing me your baby. You know how we do. So it's probably not, you know, nice, but we do. As soon as our feet hit the floor, we're judging people. We judge our children. We judge our husbands. We judge our coworkers. We judge our church members. We judge everybody in the world. We even go to the park and sit outside and just watch people walk. Wobble with it, because somebody's very big or robust or Rubenesque, you know. I feel the earth move under my feet. Really? Okay. You wait till you get that size and then see what don't happen. People are going to be talking about you the same way. Girl, you see how hairy that person is? Oh, my God. Don't they shave? Ooh, that's just so unclean. But how do you know about this person? Maybe they can't shave. Maybe they don't shave because of their religion. Maybe they want to see how long their hair can grow. Some people don't shave under their arms. Some people don't shave their legs. Why? That's their business. We don't mind our own business. We should mind our own business, but no, we're too chitty-chatty about other people. So why do we do that? Because we remain in curiosity and stay out of judgment. Judgment shuts us down and keeps us from understanding the full situation. If we're being honest, most judgments about people are based on incomplete information, just like I was saying earlier. You don't know if that person has a condition where it could be their thyroid. They could be a diabetic and they have to take lots of medicine. They may have to be on steroids. I had lupus. I know I got large and in charge. I got up to almost 190 pounds. Yes, y'all, I got up to almost 190 pounds. I felt like a linebacker. Oh, you look good. Look good for who? I didn't feel good about myself. I felt large and in charge. I felt husky. Not musty, but just husky. Like I said, I could have been a sumo wrestler for all I know. I just did not feel comfortable in my skin. But I didn't talk about nobody because I couldn't talk about myself because I felt, I got to get this weight off. So curiosity, on the other hand, keeps us open to the possibility that there is something about the situation we don't fully understand. We don't know why people are the way they are. We don't know why, you know, Uncle George limps. We don't know why one leg is shorter than the other. We don't know these, and we need to sit down and have conversations with these people. You may have been in the war that you don't want to talk about. You may have PTSD, and once he starts talking about it, he may go off. You don't know situation fully. I don't know situation fully. So when we start to converse with people, then we can understand more about that person and be less likely to judge. But no, that's the first thing that come out of our mouth. Look at her. Why are her eyebrows so bushy? Why is her nose so big? Why are her lips so big? Yep, that's what we do. We talk about people so bad, and then we come home and say, why did I talk about so-and-so so bad? Why did I comment about this, and why did I comment about that? And we have Reverend Ron, who has just joined us. Good afternoon, good evening, good day, Reverend Ron. How are you doing today?
Oh, what some people say, never better. And thank you to the esteemed and to all of the guests. Yeah, thank you, Lord.
So far, it's just you and I on the line. I've been just chit-chatting, talking it up about...
Okay.
Please don't judge me. So, and I started off with the curse, of course, the Bible verse, Luke 6:37, judge not that ye be not judged, condemn not that ye be not condemned, and so on and so forth. So they already been schooled about that. But what do you say to people? What say you about what people say about other people? That's what I want to say here.
Ask me that again. I kind of missed that. Say that again.
I said, what say you about other people when they talk about other people?
Well, I know they're not spiritually in tune with the spirit of truth. I understand that, you know, that all of us have some growing to do. And usually, you know, when you see folk in error or in that habit of, you know, judging people before observing people, then you know they're not mature as they should be, you know?
Okay.
But there's room, there's always room, for growth when God's kingdom people are involved, you know?
Okay.
So, yeah.
And a lot of times other people help us grow, you know? You shouldn't talk about so-and-so like that. What's wrong with you? You know that's wrong. You need to go and apologize.
Right.
When they don't know I talked about them until you say something about it, but still, deep down,
right,
you know you're wrong. Not you, but you know,
right,
you know you're wrong about talking about, you know, Sister Sally or Brother Joe or, you know, your coworker or what have you. But it's like, why are they so musty? They don't take no salary? Well, you don't know their situation.
Right.
You don't know.
Right.
They may just have a body odor issue. You know, they just you know, sometimes people have those things, and we don't know.
Right.
Like I was saying earlier, curiosity, on the other hand, keeps us open to the possibility that there is something about the situation that we don't fully understand. So basically, we're asking questions, but we're asking them inappropriately. I guess that's how I want to say it. Correct?
You see, we're asking questions inappropriately. Well,
yeah, basically, when we judge people, we're basically asking questions inappropriately because we're just speaking what comes out of our mouth. We're not really asking questions, but we're asking
I get
in a roundabout way. You understand what I'm saying?
I get that.
You know,
I do now. Yeah, I get that.
And so instead of going asking, you know, go ahead.
You know, when I looked at this topic this evening, don't judge me, but observe me. Don't judge me, but observe me. Now, if you observe
me, you might learn a thing or two, huh?
You could learn me. You know, and I think I think that's why Jesus told us. He told us. He said, "Teach them to observe all things." Now, when you observe me, then you'll learn my attributes. You'll learn my attributes. You'll learn my ways, and you'll learn my actions. And you know, when you observe me, you'll listen for what comes out of my mouth. Because you're observing me, you're checking me out, you know. But if you judge me, then you have sent forth a creation that's not a reality. If you judge me,
okay. And are we afraid to go and talk to people who we judge?
Sometimes that is the case. Sometimes it is the case.
You don't know the reaction. Okay. Because we're go ahead.
But if you judge me wrongfully, you still could get the reaction that you're afraid of. If you
or don't want to hear, right?
I don't want to hear.
Yeah, that's true. You don't want to hear it because, and as I was saying earlier, I don't know if you heard what I was talking about. Sometimes when we judge people, Earl Nightingale says, when you judge others, you do not define them, you define yourself. And we usually judge others in the areas where we feel the weakest. So, you know, that's another thing. We'll go to people who are who reveal our judgments on our soft spots, our insecurities, and our weaknesses, as I said earlier. So we'd mm-hmm. rather go up to somebody who's almost like us and then, you know, judge them. But really, we're how do I want to say it? We're getting our own answers to our own insecurities. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
What did you say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm just wondering if I was on the right track. Okay.
Yeah, you
okay.
you're right what you're saying. Yes. Yes.
Hmm. And that's too
it's
bad
strong,
we can't. We can,
go
ahead. Go
ahead. Yeah. No, I'm listening. Go ahead.
No, it's the same. We can't go and talk to people who have our same insecurities and ask them, maybe how do you deal with your insecurity? Maybe they don't feel that it's they're insecure or have a judgment issue. We're the ones who have the judgment issue because we're talking about someone. You know, everybody else could be just as fine and happy and dandy with themselves, and it's like, oh, look at him, look at her. You know, look, why are they so big? But hey, you probably, you know, not that far off of being big yourself, but you don't know how to handle it. So you'd rather go and pick on somebody who is larger than you so you can judge them so that they basically, so you could basically figure out how do they handle the situation. If I basically, judging is bullying, actually, if you look at me and answer my question, it's like bullying because, you know, you try to feel superior, trying to make them feel inferior. Correct?
Yes, you're right.
Okay.
You are.
I'm just making sure that I'm on the right path. I don't know. I just, you know, I'm just trying to use common sense. You know, because a lot of us, we don't use our common sense like we should. We need to. We really
mm-hmm.
don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so,
yeah.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
You're so right. And I think that this is a lot of the frustration. This is a lot of the debasement.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lot of our people not growing, okay? Because there's no inward peace. There's no stability in peace. There's no stability in joy. There's no availability in God as it should be. So this is the great frustration. You understand what I'm saying? You see, when I choose the life of wholeness, then I'm practicing the image of God. I'm practicing the image of God. He made me in His image. He made us in His image. When I walk in sameness of mind, then I'm practicing the image of God. And in so doing, then my actions become like the scripture, which make it His likeness.
Mm.
Okay? So if you don't judge me and observe mm-hmm. me, you'll find that. If we don't judge people and observe people, now I've learned through maturing in wholeness in God that people are growing. In the process of growing, mistakes be made. Or actions, as you say, that are not appropriate at times happen. Because they are in a growing stage. In a growing stage. Then that means, you know, God have mercy on all of us. And He blesses us and He gives us grace and He grooms us in grace. And He grooms them too that are growing in Him. And we help them, we encourage them, we that are maturing, are matured past their growing point, but understand it. But then we too encourage them as well adverse to judging them because of them, their strength and where they are, getting over their habits and getting over their position.
Okay.
That they
okay.
that they once had, you know.
Okay. I'll go for that. And under Shola Richards, he also says, whenever we see people acting in ways that we think are insane, stupid, or worse, ask this question. I wonder what's going on with that person that I don't know about, just like I was saying earlier. You know, we don't know what's going on with someone, so why don't we just ask, you know, are you okay? I mean, if you know them, you know, you don't always just go up to strangers. But yeah, I mean, sometimes you do, you know, you okay? You feel okay? Why are you looking like you're looking? Like, this is how I always look. What should I change? But judging people is easy. And in some cases, it can even feel good to do it. On the other hand, being curious requires maturity, like you said, emotional intelligence, and a healthy dose of self-control to do it consistently. So, you know, it's a whole lesson that we need to learn of how to treat people, basically, how not to be so judgmental. You know, it's not cute. It's really not cute. It's really not. It's not. It's just, you know. Okay, so the other day we had good church. You know, you have to choose, and this is something that you have to choose. You have to choose about being judged or judging people. You shouldn't be judging people. Who made you God, basically? So how can you judge somebody? You know, what gives you the right to judge somebody? You need, what do you say? The particular passage that you were talking about. It's found in Genesis 1:26. That's one of my people who are in the chat room. So they always join us in the chat room. So I'm welcome, Be Wise Serpents. How you doing today? So that's another person who's in the chat room who joins us on these evenings. So thank you. But we, you know, in the very end, you know, we have nothing to say. You know, God is going to judge us and how we, you know, treat the people and judge people and so on and so forth. Is that not correct?
Yes, very correct.
So, go ahead, please.
If I may say, it's kind of hard for people who have not been taught about God, who have not had discipline with God and for God and in God, it's difficult sometimes for them to understand. You're more interested in understanding after you have observed and perhaps had some experiences, you know. A lot of times people judge people and never get to experience the genius in them because they judge them. Let me observe you and get the best out of you. Adverse judging you and turn you off. For Jesus said, through my love and kindness have I drawn thee. You know? Through my love and through my kindness have I drawn thee. So if I'm practicing love and kindness, I need to be observing you. And most likely, we'll have your attention because love and kindness is my practice So it becomes my facade. It becomes my aura of intellect.
Okay.
So I need to get the best. I need to get the best out of you. But I can't judge you to do that.
Okay.
I have to observe you to do that.
Okay. 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 So, if you were to, if you never knew me, you observed me, and I was doing something which you felt out of character. How do I want this? How would you approach me, or would you approach me, or would you just, you know, what would you do?
Well, if it's predestination time, if it's God's time, then something will happen where we will interact.
Mm-hmm.
If it's God's predestinated time at that time, then we will interact some kind of way. The spirit of truth will cause us to agree on something where we will interact. And
okay.
in so doing, the Lord will even spark a conversation where the point that he wants you to ascertain for change, it'll happen.
Okay.
And it will affect me as much as it affects you, because the change... Now, in the process, well then, I'll probably in an indirect way, or maybe I would have given a solution through love and kindness, where I won't have to remind you of the appropriate inappropriateness. But you know, you'll be warned to the point where you'll look at it differently yourself.
Okay. Okay. You will know how to act and know how to respond.
Yep.
Hopefully.
Yep. But something has to happen in the process. And when it's predestination time, when it's God's time that he has predestined for us to interact, or if it was a person or so on and as such in the case, well, then it will happen. And if you have been practicing wholeness, the lifestyle, mm-hmm. saneness, well, of mind scripturally, well, then it's going to affect the person that's in habit. Because some people, the way they act is habit.
Right.
Yeah. Some people have to act the way they act. They say that's just them. And if they're not practicing godliness, then you know what it is. Cussing every other word, sentence of vulgarity, sentence of unpure things and with words. So, you know, they are people of habit. And simply because a lot of them haven't been taught. And the Bible tells us, you say, how can he act like God and practice his ways if they know nothing about him?
So basically, how can you act Christ-like and be a Christian if you don't know how? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying even for the person of habit. You know, you were saying to me,
mm-hmm.
how would I look mm-hmm. at you if you were inappropriate, you know, in a way, you know, that I saw you and
mm-hmm.
didn't know you? Well, if it's predestination, then it's going to be solved.
Right, yeah. Yes. Predestination. Okay. I can go for that one.
So I can't judge, but I have to observe.
Uh-huh.
I have to observe to heal. I have to observe to heal.
Okay. Okay. Then you would better know how to handle situations.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Correct. Okay.
Interesting. Okay. And then the next part of the show is conversation is making things right. I have been wrong. I've been on the wrong side of harsh judgment before, and I know how much it can hurt, whether it's the fact that I smile a lot or because people think that I'm delusional for fighting for a kinder world or even because of the color of my skin. I'm used to being judged. These days, I expect it and I'm actually okay with it. That's because no one can judge me more harshly and viciously than I have judged myself. You know, when you get up in the morning, you do your judgment stuff. It's like, oh my gosh, look at these love handles, oh my goodness. Oh, what is this pimple on my face? Oh goodness, you know, so on and so forth. Why are these bags under my eyes? It's like, okay, some people who aren't, some people wish that they could get up and even look in the mirror, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some people wish that they could even get out of bed, you know, and see themselves. You know, people weighing, you know, an enormous amount of weight, 600 pounds, 700 pounds, they can't even get up, you know.
Right.
And so people ought to be glad. I'm so glad I can get up this morning. I don't care how bad I look. You can look in the mirror. I'm so happy I can get up and breathe and, you know, I'm in my right, well, I think I'm in my right mind. Other people may not think I'm in my right mind, but I think. But, you know, we judge ourselves so harshly, you know, and then that's why we're so down on ourselves. So then we can't pick ourselves back up. It's like, it doesn't have to be like that. It really doesn't have to be like that. We need to stop being so critical and criticizing ourselves so viciously and so harshly as the man was saying. We just do ourselves in, you know. We just do ourselves in. We do. We just do. And it's sad that we do that. And then that's why we pick on other people, because we think that we can. We think that we have the right, you know, to do so. You know, we think, oh my goodness, my brother from another mother finally decided to join us. Well, hello, Joe. How are you?
Well, I'm too busy judging you to let you know how I am. How's that? Hey, Ron, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, man? How are you?
I'm okay.
How you doing?
I haven't heard from you in a while either.
Hey man, you know, thank God, busy man. You know, I had to. You know, Inez was putting the pressure on me about that album, right? And the last few weeks, we've gotten it done. You know, we got this single done, and it's out.
So you're in the studio, then, huh?
Yeah, studio, dealing with band. You know, and you when you deal with band, you deal with people, and. So, you know, getting that coordinated and all this kind of thing, it had me kind of going, you know. But thank God it's done and it's uploaded and I'm getting ready to go back and do the video, you know.
Ah, well, good luck. I'm obviously it's going to be about God and religion and spirituality, I presume, anyway. Right.
But there's a message. There's a message, you know.
Well, there always is with the spirituality and God involved, and, you know, the universal message, you know, love one another and always judge Inez, no matter what she says. that's the message. Right, Inez?
I feel a mute button coming on.
I made a bet with myself, and I won. I knew it. You can be in church. I can show up, and the first thing you're going to say is, "Ah, my brother from another mother. Let's mute him."
You know I love you, Joe.
Yeah. And that would be the third thing she says after she mutes me.
Yes.
I do love him. I do love him.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
I have missed you for the last few segments. It's like, where is he? Is he okay? Are you okay? It's like, you know, you can't leave
without saying
anything to nobody. Okay, just making sure.
I'm fine, thanks. I just, you know, there are some things that I, you know, that I do at other times, mm-hmm. and that grab my attention. So I might not even stay on, you know, that long tonight. You know, who knows? But so
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One reason why I came in is because you said, "Don't judge me," which I think is part of the title of the show. Realistically, everybody judges everybody. No matter what they say, I don't judge you. I don't.
We do.
You know, they always. We're always judged.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We just have to live with it.
We do. And you know, I don't know how much you heard about, you know, what I had talked about. But you know, in the earlier
no,
when you should
no,
be
uh-uh.
here.
You know, something's wrong with my earbuds. I can't hear as well as I'd like. I might have to switch earbuds again. Oh, freak. Shoot. You know one thing you have to change on your show? You have to let me
What's
curse.
What's that?
Because I'm a
no.
cursor. Yes.
Well, you're going to have to... No. No.
Ron, tell her.
But I have
Tell her. Heathens have the right to curse.
You do have the right to curse, just not on my show, because I don't know who's, you know, you never know who's listening. People get offended.
All right, I won't.
Anymore.
Okay, I won't curse on your freaking show. How's that?
You can curse as much as you want before the show and after the show, but during the show, no.
Oh, you just like being a dominatrix, that's all. Forget about all that other stuff. Yes, you do. You're a closet
what
dominatrix.
Know what Janet Jackson say? I'm in control.
You hear what she says, Ron? She's a control freak. Oh, well, okay, I'll put up with it. Like all men have to in today's world of females. For a while.
No, you don't. You don't have to. You don't have to.
You're right.
You
I don't have to. I do it
because you love me. I know.
Yep. My sister from another mister. I'm going to have to chase
that
down that mister.
Okay. Well, what can I say? You are so funny. You are so, so funny. But
getting back to your topic, though. Yeah. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, please don't judge. But, no, we're talking about, you know, why we are so judgmental. And, I can go back and talk about it, but you should have been here earlier, so we wouldn't have to go talk about it. We know that it's ugly. We know that...
not necessarily, Inez.
What, judgment is not
I mean, it can
ugly?
Be, of course.
It says,
it can
really
be, of course.
Be an ugly thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Earl Nightingale says, when you judge others, you do not define them, you define yourself. And when you judge others in areas where we feel the weakest, and so that's what, you know, you know, and judgment reveals our soft spots, our insecurities, and our weaknesses. As we were discussing earlier, Reverend Ron and I were discussing earlier. So and judgment shuts us down and keeps us from understanding the full situation. If we're being honest, most judgments about people are based on incomplete information, and Reverend Ron and I were talking about that. We don't know the whole story, the full story. We don't know the whole truth of nothing but the truth. We just know part of it. So we only know what our eyes see. We don't know what the whole story entails.
Well,
go to that person and find out.
That's true.
So,
but God
you know.
Judges, why can't we?
God judges? He's the last judge.
Well, he's the last judge? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what should I have named this? Courts in session?
Should I have named the what?
Huh? Should I have named this segment, The Courts in Session.
Oh, The Courts in Session. Ah. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's an idea. Sure. Yeah. Why not? I mean, look, yeah, you're right. People do judge, and they do judge in a way that can be very negative and can be very ugly. But at the same time, we all judge. How do we know that the person we're talking to is somebody that we want to continue to talk to unless you judge them? We all discriminate on some level in some way for good reasons.
Yes,
we want to pick the people that we want to be with.
And so is it that you're judging them, or are you trying to, as Reverend Ron would say, or are you observing them?
Both. You're observing who they are, what they are, what they do, their behavior, their mindsets, and then you come to a conclusion as to whether or not what they've done, what they've said, is reflective of the kind of values that that you want to be with.
Hmm. Okay. 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 Reverend Ron, you want to comment? He's still there. He got awfully quiet, so he may be on the
line.
Well,
he said Joe's here, and now it's time for him to make a sandwich. And then after a while, we'll come back. And, right.
You're wrong. You're so funny. You're so wrong. You're on mountain time, so you're an hour after him, and he's an hour after me. So I already had my meal. So it's okay. So now while what was I going to say? Oh, okay, making things right. How do we make things right about when we judge people? And I had said earlier from Shola Richards, that's who the information I got this from. I have been on the wrong side of harsh judgment before, and I know how much it can hurt, whether it's the fact that I smile a lot or because people think that I'm delusional for fighting for a kinder world or even because of the color of my skin. I'm used to being judged. We all are. Each and every day, as soon as our feet hit the floor, we're judged, or we judge ourselves. These days, I expect it, and I'm actually okay with it. That's because no one can judge me more harshly and viciously than I have judged myself. So while that's all true, it still really bothers me to see other people being the butt of people's mean-spirited teasing and jokes. And we do. And as I was saying earlier, basically judging people is being a bully. You know, that's basically all judging is. It's being a big old bully. You know, we're bullying other people because we don't know their whole story. We don't know why, you know, they're going through what they're going through or why they're the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we sit up here and we, you know, put judgment against them because that's how we see them. But if they turned around and judged us, we'd become so defenseless. We'd become, you know, start stuttering and so on and so forth. So if the tables were turned, you know, they would look at you or look at the other person who's judging them and you know, turn the tables and they judge the other person. How would they feel? It's like, wow, is that how you see me? Mm-hmm. So I can be just as judgmental as the next person, you know, when the tables are turned. So, you know, so that's how that goes in this book. Next. So how do we stop? This is where am I here? We are making things right. How would you make things right, Joe?
If I were judging somebody, well, usually I don't. When I do judge somebody, I also reserve the right to judge and to come to different conclusions later on based upon more information. I usually judge people on the probability of what they are like if I only know them for a short time. And then as I get more information, sometimes my positive judgment of a person changes to negative, and the negative judgment of a person changes to positive. So that's how I do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So what if they turned around and started judging you? How would you feel?
people always judge me. You can't walk down the street without being judged. Sometimes you're being judged in a positive light. Sometimes you're being judged in a negative light. When I had been judged in a negative light, once people got to know me and they realized that I had fortitude, brains, personality, what are you laughing at? Huh? You judging me? Are you judging me right now?
No.
Yeah,
I'm judging
me. Reverend Ron? Yeah, that wasn't me. Oh, yeah, that wasn't me. You see, Reverend Ron, you see what she's doing? So when they found out more about me, the negative judgment changed to that of a more positive one. But in some cases, you're never going to escape negative judgment. There are people who, based upon status and money, if you're not of their status and money, you will never be judged positively. So you just say, you know, later for you, you go your way, I go my way. Simple.
Okay. Because I know that when you first started coming on our show, I couldn't stand you. I'm just going point blank.
Nobody could.
Gosh,
all the women, none of the women could.
Well, for one thing, when you come on to the show, you were always getting ready to close. And then you come on, we'd be on another hour or two later. And so now that you're coming on earlier, it's so much more. I like it because we could talk more and we could, you know.
Yeah, but that's not
the
reason why when I first got on, why you and the other women couldn't stand me. It was because I was stating my own observations about women who are not virtuous. Women have to bring things to the table and women don't like hearing it. Women believe that they deserve a free ride in life, depending upon how beautiful they are, depending upon how, you know, what kind of level of college degree they have, and all the material things which men don't give a crap about. And they think that, don't judge me. Yeah. Okay, I won't judge you. All right, I'll judge every woman but you. So, okay?
Yes,
all right. So, you know, and because doors get held open for them and because chairs get pulled out and men are supposed to, you know, women and children first, which is a myth, by the way, they feel entitled. So when I brought that, those kind of topics up, I was rocking their particular boat. They didn't like it. But when they got to hear me, they realized I wasn't going to be one of these, you know, activist, which always was condemning women simply because they were female, that I was easy to get along with, just as long as you don't, you know, you don't push my buttons, I won't push yours. But I have an opinion, and that opinion about women is that bring something to the table. You're not born virtuous.
Right.
You're just born flesh and blood. That's it.
You're just born. Okay, flesh and blood. Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, That could very well be true, but, you know, and you know how we've always talked in the other segments, you know. You know how the men are supposed to be providers, protectors, or professors.
Right. I bet you Keen and Bree don't hate me as much as they did when they first talked to me.
I don't think so, but, you know, I don't believe so. I don't believe so. It'd, you know, be nice if they was back on, but I think because of a certain person, they probably won't. You won't say nothing.
Yeah. So I mean, so I was judged, and but I mean, you know, on Blog Talk Radio, you either, you know, you can always turn the channel, plain and simple.
Yes. But then you're not on the channel that you want to be on. You're not on the one that you initially started out. So. They don't want to change the channel, so they'd rather not participate.
Yeah, right. So everybody has that. Well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Right, right.
You know, you turn the channel on a radio, you don't want to listen to that program or watch that TV program. Same thing with Blog Talk Radio, you know. You can, you can either go to it or not go to it. Simple. Just as simple as that.
Okay, so... And the next part says, now it's your turn. Do you judge people often? How do you deal with it when you become judgmental of others? And we talked about that. So I also found on ArcadianCounseling.com is why we judge others and how to stop. Chances are you were taught as a child to never judge others. Parents and teachers likely repeatedly said, don't judge a book by its cover, and yet, despite our best efforts sometimes, many of us fall into the trap over and over again. In today's polarizing world, it seems like this is more evident than ever. Someone cuts you off on the road. What a dear rear entrance. Our friends make questionable decisions by reuniting with an ex who mistreated her. Well, that's stupid. What's wrong with her? And someone posts something online you disagree with. This person is a complete pound sign, dollar sign, percent sign, explicitive, and then quotation. So let's face it, we all do it. So why do we do it? And there are four common reasons, according to this person, that explain the particularly bad habit of judging other people. It helps us feel superior.
Wow.
Do you feel superior Do you feel superior when you talk about and tear down other people? It says tearing other people down is one that most common ways people prop themselves up. By judging others harshly, we compare ourselves to them and feel superior. Compared to our lives, their behavior, their physique, we look pretty good. But this kind of comparison is false and unhealthy. Instead of finding faults in others, we could do much better to focus on how we can become our best selves. And that's what Reverend Ron was saying. Try asking yourself, is what I'm thinking and doing helping me move toward the life I want? Can you answer that question? So.
Me?
Hello?
Mm-hmm. Me?
Yes.
I thought you wanted Ron to talk. Okay. Sure,
no,
if you want me.
I called your name, and then Reverend Ron, come on after you. I always like to hear what you say, have to say.
Oh, okay. All right. You want me to hog up the show? Not a problem. Okay.
No, I didn't say that. I want you to answer the question. Is what I'm thinking slash doing helping me move toward the life I want? That's the question I asked. I didn't ask you to answer anything else.
God.
I just asked.
Oh, God.
How you like me now?
I say it all the time. She is so easy. And then she always says, you're not getting to me, Joe. You don't get to me, Joe.
You're not getting to me, Joe. No, you don't get to
but
me.
But she always has this kind of reaction.
No.
Oh, God.
No. I'm trying to keep the show moving forward. And then I'm not going to fall into your trap. So you can either...
I can either now. Oh, okay. What can I either do?
I said, you could either answer the question or go on mute.
Oh, God.
You know I brighten your day.
Yes, you brighten my day. You're the beacon of my lighthouse. I know, you just brighten the day out of me. And, all right. Okay. So when people do judge the way that you've been describing it, people do feel superior,
uh-huh.
and they do it in order to feel superior. I mean, if like when you were talking about people tearing each other down, that's something that a lot of women do. You know, you put three women together, they're going to talk about other women like their dogs, or they're going to talk about a man or a couple of men or men like their dogs. That's what they do. All you have to do is watch any reality show on TV or on YouTube, and even the women will say that. One woman in one, I forget, was Housewives of Atlanta or some nonsense, and she says, you know, she wasn't really looking forward to joining, what was it, five or six other women that she didn't know anybody there. She didn't know anything about them. She said, because once you put five or six women together, they're always going to start what does she say? Criticizing and tearing each other apart, stuff like that. That's just, you know, that's just the way people are. If they're doing it the way that you've just described, you know, but
right,
people
right.
always judge. People always mm-hmm. have a positive and or a negative assessment of whoever they come in contact with. It doesn't mean that they're going to act catty. It just is. And that's something we all have to get used to. Have I talked enough, or do you want me to talk some more?
You're fine. That's good.
Oh, okay.
Reverend Ron?
Well, in lieu of what both of you all are saying, which is real and true to life, for the mm-hmm. most part, I really shouldn't judge. I should observe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If I observe you, I can learn who you are. If
mm-hmm.
I judge you, I may never get to know you, or who I get to know, it may not be pleasant
mm-hmm.
if I judge you. But if I observe you, your actions,
mm-hmm.
your practical way of life, well, then I know what approach to take, or I know whether to wait on predestinated time to take his place. When that happens, then agreement and agreeableness is at play. When it's the right, perfect time, then you'll know how to approach, even if the person have inappropriate ways.
Okay.
You'll have conversation of change, and it will be received. Because most people are being judged and they're acting differently is simply because they're hurting in some sense or another.
Okay. All right, I'll go for that. The next is, it helps us recognize our goals. Judging is all
Hold on, Inez. We didn't hear from you. Have you ever judged anybody harshly? Huh?
Oh, on a regular.
Oh, all right. So you're a sinner. Okay.
Oh, I was that when I was born.
I wasn't.
Yes, you were. You just didn't know it.
No, I wasn't. No, I received.
Yes.
I received Catholic training. And they taught me I was a sinner, the original sin and all that, but I say no. But I don't want to turn this into a religious show, unless, of course,
no,
I know.
Not today.
You want to.
No. No, not today.
Oh, okay.
No. That's tomorrow, Bible study. You're doing the Bible study tomorrow.
Oh, by the way, I'm glad you said that. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I was going to call in on your Sunday show, and I heard Reverend Carolyn sing. And I decided not to call in because I didn't want to interfere with her singing and preaching. So I just wanted to say hello, I guess. But I heard her talking, you know, preaching and singing in the gospel style. I liked it. She has a nice voice.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we had us a good Sunday, didn't we, Reverend?
Oh, yeah.
We had us
really
a
nice
good day. Sunday. Oh, my gosh. It was
yeah.
a good Sunday. We were on there.
And after service, too, you know? You know?
Yeah. Yep, so it was good. We just kind of, you know, let everything just go and flow and everything. It was good. It was really good. Really, really good. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. Really, people got blessed, I think, and, you know, a lot of people listened to it after. So it was very good, very uplifting. So I guess we'll have to do that more often than not, depending on the spirit of how things are going. So. Depending on the spirit of how things are going. So it was good, though. You could have said hi. You know, you could have come back in later. You probably would have gotten blessed. It says, you have to choose. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It was good. It was really good. She did a good job.
Wow. Well,
you always Joe, you're always welcome to call in and say hello on my Sunday, fourth Sunday. You're always welcome.
Anytime. Oh, he, and he does. He does. He'll listen, I think, and then, you know, call in when he thinks it's good. But by the time he calls in, we're already on to something else. But it was a good service. You have to choose. It was, yeah. It was very good. So,
yeah. So and you get a chance to hear the new single. He'll get a chance to hear the new single, too. He'll get a chance to hear the new single, you know?
Oh, your new single?
Fourth Sunday. This fourth Sunday. Sure will. Jesus will make you whole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the name of his new
single. Well, maybe on the next album we can have Reverend Carolyn sing, because I heard us, you know, Follow Jesus. Remember that that refrain.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Listen to you. All right now. We might turn this heathen into a holy man after all.
Hey.
I love you, Joe.
I like being a heathen.
I know you do. I'm just messing with you. That's funny. But this next one is, it helps us recognize our goals. Judging is always a way for us to perceive the world and figure out where exactly we fit in. When we form opinions of others, we are able to recognize what we like and aspire to be, as well as what we don't like and want to avoid. While many may see this as a positive thing, the problem lies in the comparison. Routinely comparing ourselves to others leads to a lack of self-confidence, self-worth, and inability to find enjoyment in most situations. Comments, fellas? Which one wants to go on this one?
Well,
what I'm
going to do is, I don't want to interfere with the program, so like I say, if I go, I should just hang up. But I am going to say, you know, good night to Reverend Ron and to you. And I'm gonna leave to pursue some other ambitions right now. So,
oh, really?
I'll talk. Yes, really. So I'm gonna wish you both.
My show go somewhere else. I can't believe that. I'm judging you now. You just don't want to.
Oh, here you go. All right. I know you're messing with me. No, I just thought I'm going to pursue some other ambitions right now. So,
good for you.
I don't want to. Okay. All right. So I just wanted to say good night, and both of you
good
be
night,
safe.
Joe, man.
And,
good night,
and
man.
Talk about, and good luck, Reverend Ron, with the album.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You have a good evening.
Yeah.
You too.
All
good
right.
Night.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Good night. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you too. Good night.
All right. Kisses, smooches. Okay. So, and that's so true. When we help us recognize our goals, we're like, okay, I don't want to look like that in a few years, or, you know, hopefully this will go right, and so on and so forth. So that's a very, very, very true statement. As far as, you know, us trying to achieve or attain our goals and recognize what we want to do and want to be. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I practice. So practicing maturity in the way that the Lord would have life to go, well, I'm more or less in a frame of mind of encouraging people, you know, helping them get over their habits, you know. And when I speak of habits, I'm not just talking about neurochemical reactions. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about habits far as discipline is concerned, far as their expressions. For as them not knowing God, coming to know God, and how special that is, and how important it is for one to have successful life, and the best life. So if I want to see this happen for you, because I know that's why you're hurting, I can't judge you. I have to observe.
Okay.
You.
Mm. Okay. We do, like you keep on saying, we have to observe, you know, so we can understand and learn. That's true. So true.
And then we won't be so heretically readily judgmental.
Hmm. But, you know, we being humans, we're just judgmental, period, anyway, I believe. I mean, you know, giving people the side eye, we're judging them. Even this little dog that's in the house here, she gives me the side eye. I look at her like, don't be looking at me like that. She's so funny. She's looking at me at the side eye like, what you getting ready to do, little lady? She's so funny. And the next one, it uncovers our own faults. More often than not, we are bothered, I said bothered, by the qualities of others that we choose not to see in ourselves. We ridicule, judge, and shame another's habits, appearance, or lifestyle choices because they are the very ones we dislike in ourselves. For those lacking in self-awareness and insight, they don't even realize this is the truth. So that's so true. That is so, so true.
So true.
So true. Mm-hmm.
So true.
That is so, so true. It's like, yeah, it could have hurt on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
That is so for sure. And we do, that's, you know, and I think that's why, I don't know why, but I want to say we feel like people may be racist. You think? Because
say that again.
White people are racist. You know, some people are racist. There's different ways of being racist, but you know what I mean?
Well, yes.
Because
I saw something concerning racism. You remember when Jamar fell out on the football field, played with the Buffalo Bills?
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks ago, he fell out, maybe about a month or so.
Yeah.
He fell out on the football field. I think it was Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals was playing, and Jamar fell out after he had made a tackle, right? I watched Unity. What God loves, I watch the spirit of unity take over all races after that happened on the football field.
So
I know racism is an existing habit or spirit, but I saw unity take over racism and everything else because the efforts that Jamar was trying to put forth, he had started a $2,500 GoFundMe for children during the Christmas season, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And how when that happened and when the unity set in the hearts of the people with concern for Jamar, the $2,500 was turning to $8 million. Why?
Yes.
Because people from all ethnicities joined in to see that his goal went farther than what he could have phantomed at that time. So that tells me even though racism may have existed and may exist, but it's losing its hope. It's losing its hope because unity is taking this place. And when unity takes its place, it overrides everything else. So I think that's a big part of us not judging is being ready to connect, but connect in a way of change. Not connect for habits of imperfection, but connect for perfection, not habits of imperfection. Because we've been connecting that way too long, and that doesn't benefit us rightfully. It leaves a stain. But if we connect for perfection, then we're connected to bring somebody into a higher state of thinking or expand their knowledge to the point where they can change habits, habits that hurt them personally and habits that make them hurt others, because it's never been addressed and nobody has never reached to pull the best out of them. They've been used to pulling a load that they were burdened, they thought, to carry because of life. Now, you carry a load, but also you be the excellent person who God has made you in his image to be. Now, if I judge you, what measure am I judging you by? Am I judging you by an experience of imperfection of the past? Am I judging you out of culture, misconception of truth, culture habit, environmental upbringing? Am I judging you because I've learned what Lucifer ways was about, and I think that sometime because of my pain, everybody is in that category? Am I judging you from that standpoint of view? Or am I judging you by way of scripture? Now, if I look at you and measure you by way of scripture, then I have to observe you adverse to judge you. If I judge you, I can only judge you by history and records of the past of what a person I think bad should be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But if I observe you, I look at where you are, your actions that you display from this moment, then I know how to apply what I've ascertained far as what the scriptures say about a perfect woman. I know the characteristics because there's a perfect woman in the Bible that I can observe your ways and see do they match up. And if your ways match up with her ways, well, then I can kind of come to a point of view of who you are. But if your ways only match the imperfection of the past and history of a bad person, well, then I'll judge you without being able to fix you or help you or encourage you.
Okay. I can go for that, because it does. It uncovers so much. And it opens up wounds, that we wish to heal, because somebody may have judged us before, and then we do put that same judgment on somebody else whose self-esteem may not be as high, or, their self-worth or anything else. So, we have got a lot to learn. I want to welcome Mr. Lucian to the show tonight. Don't judge me. How you doing, Rich?
Yeah, howdy, Inez.
How are you? Reverend Ron is on the line along with me. How you doing?
Hey, Lucius, how's it going?
Hello, Reverend. And
how
are you doing? Who else did you say?
It's just myself and Reverend Ron and you right now.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a team,
yeah, Joe
isn't
was
it?
On the line. Yeah, it's a team. We're three or more gathered in his name. Yeah, it's, there he is in the midst of them.
That's right.
No, Joe
that's
just
right.
got just left off the line. So, yeah.
Oh yeah, he normally has some good comments.
Oh, he does. He did. Mm-hmm. He did. He sure did. So we're talking about don't judge me. Don't judge me tonight. Have you been listening in the background?
I heard some of it. Yeah, not all, but I heard some of it.
Uh huh.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, good. So this next one that we are talking about from the ArcadianCounseling.com is It makes us feel part of a group. Occasionally, judging can make us feel a part of the club, air quotes. We've all been there. It's the first day of work or school, and then someone complains about something, and another one person agrees, and another one another. Before you know it, a group has formed around negativity. Sound familiar? Sound real familiar. At times, this negativity can be funny and based around a silly situation, but often the negativity can be at the expense of another. Like I said earlier, judging is nothing but bullying. Furthermore, this type of situation usually evolves into a regular pattern of behavior because there is usually a sense of connection developed among the people who are in the quote-unquote, air quote, club. So, you know, when y'all were younger, did you ever do that or have that happen to you where, you know, somebody says something and then somebody else says something else and y'all next thing you know, you all are in that club of basically, I call it bullying or talking about somebody or judging someone? Go ahead, Rich. Did you?
Well, I think, you know, men haze each other.
Okay.
I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Maybe there are a lot of things going on. There are a lot of moving parts here. But, like, many times when one joins an organization, I guess any
uh-huh.
worthwhile organization, there is a bit of hazing, some initiation. And that could be considered a type of judgment and or condemning, and those
okay.
you know, those are separate. Judging, obviously we can't not judge. I mean, we don't have
mm-hmm.
to act upon a bad judgment, but I don't think it's possible to not judge. We have to differentiate, discriminate, and all of those are forms of judgment. But
okay.
I think I gather what you're saying. I wish you had unpacked it a little bit more, and so that I could understand exactly what your complaint is. Now, gossiping, I know the Bible speaks against that, and that's just idle talk, just negative talk. I don't think it's good to engage in that. But some amount of judgment is absolutely essential. And the Bible doesn't say don't judge. It says don't judge unrighteously. Judging is absolutely essential for human existence.
You
know, it
so?
Talks about you take the plank out of one's own eye before they try and take the
mm-hmm.
speck out of the other person's eye.
Mm-hmm. So have
yeah,
you read,
judge with righteous judgment. I didn't look up the passage. It's somewhere in Matthew, but it doesn't say don't judge. It says judge rightly. You know, Jesus commended one guy when Jesus gave him a particular scenario, and he says, you have judged rightly. And so I think we need to be careful in saying, because that would be more realistic, is to go with what's accurate, juxtaposed to trying to create some sort of unrealistic situation. So we have to judge. There's no way of getting around it. Now, we don't have to be abusive, and we don't have to be petty, although many of us are, because we don't know anything else to do. Many people don't know how to be other than petty. But, I think some good examples could be set. I mean, I wouldn't tolerate someone always gossiping. I would call them on that
mm-hmm.
if I'm around someone that does that.
Okay, because in Luke 6:37 it says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. That's in Luke 6:37.
Right, but cross-reference. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Also, if I could say this,
mm-hmm.
in the seventh chapter of Matthew, verses 1, it said, mm-hmm. judge not.
That's not.
That ye be not
that
judged.
That ye be not judged. Exactly.
For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. But I would rather observe you and learn you adverse to judge you, and I don't have no measurements, no more than imperfections of the past. And then it would have to be with some experiences I've learned about wrong and right, evil and good. Well, out of imperfection, if I draw an opinion mm-hmm. of you and I haven't observed you to know you, well, then I put you in kind of a bad place in a real sense. But if I observe you now, if I observe you mm-hmm. and your actions, your practical ways, daily and consistency of what is right with facts thereof, your discipline is according to the discipline of God. And if it's like that, well, then I'm going to notice in my observing you whether to classify your character. But if I be okay. heretically readily judgmental without observant of you, then I can only see you as I see the habits of the past or imperfection of the past.
Okay. Do you have anything to comment on that, Lucian?
Yeah, what we need to do here is do a little bit of comprehensive evaluation. Now, I'm sorry, Pastor, what scripture were you quoting from?
The 7th chapter of Matthew, verses 1.
Okay, we need to go down a little further because I'm looking at 7:5, and there's a, I know it says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and mm-hmm. then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's
mm-hmm.
eye.
Mm-hmm.
So what?
Right.
Yeah. So what I think you should, would you read that? I don't have it here before me. I have
Hold
a
on.
Piece of it.
I can
pull it up. But I think
Hold
it's
on.
Mess-
that,
Go ahead. I'm
that's
sorry.
Matthew 7, right? I'm just going to
yes.
Matthew 7. Mm-hmm.
What did you say?
Judge not that ye be not judged. Yeah, 5.
Yeah, you need to read about 1 through 6, roughly.
Okay, we're going to have
at least 1 through 5
tonight. Okay, 7:1. Judge not that ye be not judged. 2. For with that judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with that what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? 4. How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And then it says 6. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you.
Okay. He's going into another situation in verse, what's that? You read 6.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I just
right there, do
there,
you
yeah.
see, you see what I, well, not what I'm saying, but he's giving a more
what
comprehensive.
Being said?
I'm,
go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, what he's doing there is he's giving balance. You know, Jesus being one of the greatest teachers ever, he really levels it out. He's saying don't judge frivolously and don't judge unrighteously, but he's not saying don't judge. He is saying judge, but he's saying judge with righteous judgment and don't be a hypocrite. Don't be guilty of the same thing that you're condemning the other person for when you have a greater culpability than the person that you're judging. That's why he says first take, and you know, this is real hyperbolic. He's saying first take the log, both a log and a speck or wood, right? But one of them is a huge piece of wood, and the other one is a tiny speck. And he's saying take the log out of your eye before you can remove the speck from the brother's eye, which makes perfect sense.
Basically, take away what's in your eye, which is a bigger, I won't say eyesore, but a bigger problem, and then you can
problem,
see the
right,
little
right.
itty-bitty thing that's in your brother's eye, because once you remove what's wrong with you, then you can see clearly and plainly what's wrong with somebody else. And you have bigger problems to deal and heal from than your brother does, because you can't even, you know, deal with what you got before you go, you know, sweeping around somebody else's door.
Exactly. Now, may I just add on to that? Because what he's saying is, you know, if one has anything in your eye, I mean, a speck in the eye is very irritating, without a doubt. So what he's saying is, and he carries it to the extreme to make the point, you know, no one could get a log in their eye. I mean, a log is larger than a person's head. So he's just making the point, which I think is a very good point. And, see, that will minimize the frivolous and the pettiness. That's what he's saying. In other words, don't just come with something stupid. You know, let it be substantial. Mm-hmm. If you're going to make a judgment, which, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I'm listening.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, see, the thing is he's not excluding judging. And see, some people don't read that carefully because, well, they don't have a good understanding anyway, and apparently they don't want one. But he's definitely not excluding judging. He's just saying judge, I guess, appropriately. He's saying judge rarely, and just make sure that you are, you know, in the proper position to judge. So he raises the bar very high for having to judge another person, a brother. He uses the term brother.
Well, that's brother. I mean, it's synonymous to male and female, but basically it says judge, not that you do not judge. It's basically what he's saying is, if you're going to judge, somebody's going to judge you. Turn right back around and judge you. So, you know, so don't be, you know, throwing stones if you don't want to get boulders and rocks thrown back at you.
Well, yeah. Well, of course, that's true. But I'm just saying, again, let me just go back to your topic, which I was reading. See, some people say don't judge. That's sophomoric. That's immature for someone to say that. Our whole society and system is based upon judgments. In fact, every society and system is based upon judgments. That's the reason we have laws. Laws are ipso facto judgments. So he's not saying don't judge. That's all I'm trying to clarify. He's saying judge appropriately, judge maturely, and judge when it's absolutely necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What
okay.
Let me ask a question. By what concept or by what measurement would you judge?
Well, all right. That would deal with the context. You know, he's saying, okay, a log is wood. A speck is wood, and one is huge, one is small. But the one that's doing the judging, according to what Jesus is saying, check me on this, he's saying you have the greater problem, even though you're trying to judge. He says if you really want to judge something legitimately, first remove the fault from yourself before you try to remove the fault from whomever you're judging.
Well, I wonder who Jesus was talking to when he was speaking as such. I wonder what crowd was he addressing that he
had
to
speak. Well, back up a bit. It should tell you.
I'm just speaking from the characteristics of the people that he was explaining this to. It was a reason why this arose, where he told them, he said, judge ye not, that ye be not judged. It was a reason, and he was talking to a specific group of people. Perhaps it was a group of people that had culture habits. It was people that probably didn't really fully walk in truth, but had established a mythology that they used as truth, but it really wasn't the truth. So they was being a little harsh, possibly, without observing character. And I can understand why they would do that, because they didn't have nothing to measure anybody by but themselves and their own conduct. And if it's taken out of imperfection, it's really not suitable to judge.
Right. And that's why I'm saying, judge not that you be not judged. So, you know, don't go talking about somebody else unless you want to be talked about yourself. And basically what it boils down to. No matter how big.
Leah, I'm sorry. What's your name?
Sorry,
Pastor
who?
I'm sorry.
Reverend Ron.
Reverend Ron?
Reverend Ron.
Yes.
Yes, Reverend Ron Marshall. Yes.
Yes.
See, you're for some reason you're breaking. Okay, Reverend. Okay, say what you said again, because you said that, first of all, you're saying judgment is inappropriate on its face. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yes. I asked the question. I said, now, who was Jesus addressing when he mentioned the seventh chapter?
Right.
Matthew, my question was, who was he addressing? What group of people was he talking to that he had to come in this way, telling them right off the top, judge not? So,
okay.
what kind of background? What kind of values
or
standards? Okay.
Yeah, no, they're Jewish people, because, you know, he says, I've come to the house of Israel. So he was coming to a group of people who were steeped in judgment. That is the law. That's, you know, the law of Moses and all those ritualistic laws they had. So, you know, they had a lot of laws. So that's what they did. Obviously, he was bringing the new wine to new wineskins. He was bringing a new teaching, as it were. And so he was telling them, of course, to ease up and not be frivolous in their judgment and to judge with righteous judgment. And we can, I'll read it later on and get the whole context, but I just know that from past Bible studies. He was speaking to Jewish people, people who were, you know, under the law, as it were, And you know, the church doesn't start until Acts chapter 2. So even though Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're in the New Testament, but technically speaking, the New Testament doesn't start until Acts chapter 2 with the coming of the Holy Spirit, correct?
Well, yeah, it was a portion of it. But you're explaining the imperfection of these people, Jewish people, and it was other cultures, ethnicities there too, outside of Jews.
Okay, This is Reverend Ron. This is when he was on the multitude. This starts actually in chapter 5, where he's in the mountains seeing the multitudes. He went up into the mountains. And when he was set, his disciples came to him. And then he starts talking. So there's a whole bunch of different people up there. So basically, he's talking in parables and so on and so forth. So this not, well, it's just multitude of people don't know who was there. Let me say who was there. Could it be Amorites, Hittites, you know, Phosphorites, you know, Gamites, whatever. But it's just a multitude of people. So whoever the people who were on the hill, he was basically just sitting down and talking to them and in parables. So therefore, he was just teaching these people, you know, hey, don't be judging people because you got to, you know, you got to look at yourself before you can go and judge other people. Okay. And he says, and he opened his mouth and taught them saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the, you know, the Beatitudes, of course. And then he goes further and then talks about everything else. He had, let's see, the Pharisee, it's the, for I say unto you that except for your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. So he's talking to them about, go ahead.
You mentioned something.
About
you said
the commandments.
What he was talking. He was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrins. Well, those were the people who were religious people who actually helped murder Jesus. So,
he was talking to the multitudes, and so we don't know who was in the multitudes. Is what I'm saying. I just said there's a bunch of people, so you don't know who's out there. They didn't say, okay, this side of the people are Jews, this side of the people are these people, this side of the people. There's a multitude of people. So they could have had some of any and everybody in that multitude is what I'm saying. And he says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountains, and he was set, and his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and so starting in 5 and going through 6 and 7 and so on and so forth, he's just talking to these people, telling them how to live, how to be, and who to be, and what not to be, and what not to do, and what to do, and how to do. You know, that's basically who he was talking to, is a multitude of people. He doesn't say who it is.
Inez.
Yes.
Yeah, we can narrow that down a little bit because with other places where Jesus, he was, okay, he came to the house of Israel, all right? So he was speaking to the nation of Israel because they were under Roman authority at, they were under Roman authority at that particular time. And remember he told the woman at the well, that he shouldn't take the bread of the children and throw it to the dogs, right? So he was speaking to a specific group of people, like I mentioned just a moment ago. He was speaking to the, you were funny when you said that, the Hittites, the Amorites, right. He was speaking to the Jewish nation, yes. That's
Okay,
that was
so
funny.
Stop right there. So I went back to number 4, and on the 25th verse of chapter 4, it says, and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. And seeing these multitudes, he went up into the mountains, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. So that's where these people had come from. Galilee,
right, but all I'm saying is they were mainly Jewish people who were familiar with the law. He was the Jewish Messiah, and he was a rabbi. So, you know, context is important there. But the point is the principle can be applied anywhere because it's being applied to us today who were Jewish proselytes, you know, adopted into, into the teachings of Israel. Because remember, it talks about those that are faithful are of Father Abraham. Abraham is the father of the faithful. And but at any rate, you know, we can go back and forth a little bit about who was there. I'm going to say it was basically Jewish people who were familiar with the law, the ritualistic laws, as well as the law of Moses. And that makes sense because he was speaking to a group of people that this particular line of discussion was appropriate. But again, he's not saying don't judge. He's just saying don't judge unrighteously. Judge this way. So he's giving them a very mature way of judging, because we have to judge. Our whole system is based upon law.
It's not saying don't judge. It just says if you well, let me go back here. It's saying, let me go, what happened? What's it? So, okay. Judge not that ye be not judged. It's not saying, you know, of course people are going to be judged. Even in, what do you think Judgment Day is going to be about? Judge being judged. So he's saying, judge not that ye be not judged. And yes, he's saying, telling us not to judge, basically. Because if you, unless you don't want to be judged, you don't judge somebody else. As long as you keep your mouth shut and don't say nothing wrong about nobody else, you don't have to worry about being judged. Correct me if I'm wrong, if that's how it's said, right?
Well, people are going to judge us regardless. I mean, we're judged every day. We're judged at work. We're judged, I mean, if we have a significant other. Now, the harshness of the judgment can certainly be mitigated, but the judgment proper cannot not be. See, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go on.
Excuse me. What measurement or what template would you use today in this modernistic world? What template would you use to correctly judge? Would you judge by way of the injustice of the system of the world? Would you judge by their character, by their discipline? How could you righteously judge anyone with the system that we have in place that loves lying?
Well, I mean, if you're going to be extremely pessimistic, I mean, I see your point, but that's not going to obviate or avoid the fact that we still must judge. Even under the, you know, worst conditions, we still have to judge. But I understand
what you're saying. So what are you speaking in terms of judging character or judging knowledge or judging discipline? Are judging preciseness? What measure, my question is again, what measure would you judge someone and be correct?
Okay, well, I'm looking at these passages right now. I'm looking at the New International Version. First of all, and I'm looking at verse 7, 1 through 6. First of all, he says, let judgment be sparse, right? That's why he commences, he opens with, don't judge. So I agree with that. Judge the least. And then he goes on, he doesn't leave it there. And he cautions us, he says, and if you do judge, you're going to be judged by the same measure. Because the Jews, remember, the Jews would place heavy burdens upon, take the intelligentsia. Remember when he said that the Pharisees will put burdens on the regular people that they won't lift with their little finger. Okay,
wait,
then he goes on to say, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? So that's impartiality right there, clarity and impartiality. I'm getting to the template that you're asking for. He's giving us the template. And he says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? Okay? So he's clearing that up. And then he says, you hypocrite. And you know the word hypocrite means actor, right? It's not a real person. They're just fronting. So Jesus is making it real here. He's saying, stop this jerking around. Be serious. And be fair. And then he says, if you're going to judge, obviously, he says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, if you look at it carefully, and I think we are, that goes right back to verse 1, because if you're seeing clearly, maybe there's no reason for your pettiness. You don't need to judge. But if you do need to judge, if one does need to judge, they need to see clearly, not be a hypocrite, and judge accurately. So that's the template. And I think it's a very good template.
And that's why I said, don't judge me. Don't judge me. That's what the name of the show is, Don't Judge Me. All right?
Well,
if you don't judge me, I won't have to judge you. That's basically what I'm saying. Don't be judging me if you don't want me to come around and judge you. Judge not that you be not judged. That's basically what the basis is coming to. And condemn not
and
that you not be you not condemned.
And
go ahead.
And then if you look at it, if I observe you and I have some knowledge stored in my brain of righteousness, and it has expanded my knowledge, and it's regurgitated to me the discipline I learned and what the experiences has changed me, and I've invested in change by practice. Well, when I look at you and observe you, well, then the spirit of truth is going to regurgitate your actions, your discipline to me. Now, if it's predestinated time for you to learn something from me or for us to converse and you learn something about yourself that you need to change, well, then that will happen. But if I observe you, I'll know how to bring you healing through knowledge, through wisdom, through the word of God that's stored in my brain. Now, if I observe you, then I can be your friend. If I observe you, I can heal you. But if I judge you from imperfection of fallen humanity, then I would never get to know the genius in you. I would never experience you. I'll make a war. And Jesus told us, he said, through my love and kindness have I drawn thee. So if I can heal thee with truth, if you happen to be one of those brothers and sisters that need healing, and your conduct is inappropriate, your discipline is not there, then if I observe you, then I know how to heal you with what maturity that I have gained through practice.
Hey, may I make a comment now?
Sure.
Yeah.
If you look at it, thank you. If you look at verse 12, he really sums it up. This is amazing. You know, he says here, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So basically, he's saying use oneself as a template for judging others. If you wouldn't judge yourself on that, don't judge anyone else on that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the ultimate. Jesus is such a beautiful teacher. This
sure
is the ultimate in hypocrisy. See, they wouldn't judge themselves for what they were judging other people.
There you go.
So what Jesus is doing, and no wonder they wanted to kill him. Remember, they killed him for teaching this kind of stuff. He's laying it on the line here. He's saying, hey, if you will judge someone, first get yourself clean.
Right.
Get yourself clean. Now, would you judge yourself for that? Because you're doing the same thing. And if
how
you
can
want,
you do it? Go ahead. I'm just coming in on something. Go ahead.
No, okay, fine. But this is the perfect, the template. And, you know, I've used this a lot. I've said, like in dating, you know, I would say to women, I remember this one woman, I said, treat the guy the way you want him to treat you. She goes, what? What? Because I said, well, yeah, that's called the golden rule. And if you notice what Jesus here, he's taking it to the nth degree. He's saying this sums up the law and the prophets.
There you go.
So that is a phenomenal wrapping up of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we would normally, if we wouldn't judge ourselves for it, don't judge anyone else for it. If you
mm-hmm.
judge yourself for it and you're clear, you're judging with accurate judgment, Jesus takes this again to the highest of heights. And so there you go. This is a very good standard, impeccable standard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They say we got to get rid of this guy. I mean, he's messing up our game.
we can't
have this.
That can really mess them up.
Yeah, we can't have this.
That can really mess them up, didn't it? He says, okay, you can't touch me. You know, I died and I came back. What are you going to do?
Hey, look here, I love you all. I'm going to have to jump off here.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Really?
Yeah, all right. Well, nice talking to you, sir.
thank you, Reverend Ron. We'll be on tomorrow night for Bible study.
You're all right. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Talk to you tomorrow.
Well,
okay.
Inez, I'm going to drop in tomorrow, too, and catch you. Do you know the subject beforehand? I may just prep up on it a little bit.
Oh, Lordy.
Give myself a head start.
I
know you're going to be ready, so I may as well be ready.
Well, for one thing, it's him teaching, so he's teaching on, go back here, let's see, he's teaching on Matthew 6, verse 10, the gathering of God's kingdom people.
Oh, Matthew 6?
Matthew 6, 10, uh-huh.
Okay, let me say Matthew 6.
Matthew
16. I'll just type that in. I know you probably use Bible Gateway.
I do, and I can go into NIV, LMNOP. I just want to be in KJV, and if I want to be in another language, I can go into that as well. Why would you
sure.
ask me?
Yeah. Oh, your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm a 6,
mm-hmm.
chapter 6, verse 10, did you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Lord's Prayer or a portion. Yeah, the Lord's Prayer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You say the Lord's Prayer.
You have
prayer.
To listen to the Go ahead.
We say the Lord's Prayer, but that's really not the Lord's Prayer. That's our prayer. I think John 17, if I'm not mistaken, that's the Lord wouldn't pray this prayer. He gave it to us, though. But anyway, no, that's just a technical point that I'm making. But it's generally called the Lord's Prayer. But, yeah.
Right, just because that's how people brandished it. Mm-hmm. That's what they brandished it as. But no, Sunday we had a good service with Reverend Carolyn. She spoke on You Have to Choose. That was good. That was really good. Really, really good.
Wait, did you say we have the keys?
No. I said we had a really good service on Sunday when Reverend Carolyn spoke.
Yes.
You Have to Choose was what her topic was.
Okay.
Very good. So you can always
go
back
and
listen.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Topics.
And, glad she delivered it. Very good.
Oh, yeah. It was good. Yeah. And Joe had popped in there. He said, yeah, she sings good. He said, I just wanted to say hi to Inez, but once she got into what she was doing, I didn't want to disturb. So he said he didn't jump all the way on. So.
Well, you guys may mess around and convert Joe. I think he calls himself, I don't know if he calls himself an atheist or an agnostic. And very interesting, though. So be careful there. Be careful. But
why?
All right. Go ahead, please.
Why do you say be careful?
I'm just kidding. It's just It's wonderful.
I already told him, I said, Joe, we're gonna convert you from a heathen yet. He just laughed. He just laughed.
Well, that'll be wonderful.
He's so funny. Yeah, he was on here earlier. But
what does it say that?
I
think it says the Lord and the angels rejoice more at the conversion of a sinner than the 99 that are already saved. So
About the one lost sheep. That's one lost sheep that was converted or found, basically. That's basically
right. There you go. Yeah.
The lost sheep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, he's a good guy. He cracks me up. He's so fun. This is how to break the judgment habit. If you recognize your tendency towards judgment, here are a few tips to break that habit. One, take a moment to understand where the other person is coming from and why they may look or behave the way they do. No matter what they may look, sound, or act like, everyone is struggling with something. You agree to that? We are all struggling. So, I mean, you know, somebody could be walking down the street and judge you. It's like, why is that tall man looking like he's looking? You know, talking about you, Rich. Lucian, sorry. So, I mean, you know, why is his hair looking like that? Why is only half of his hair there? Where's the rest of his hair? It's like, well, dang. Maybe I like the half of that is here. You know, so... no, but we
I think he's saying use compassion as opposed. Yeah, and that no, that's very good. I think that, you know, that's a wonderful. Although it's not saying don't judge, as I've said before, but it's saying judge. You know, one has really got to be together themselves before throwing out judgments, which we often don't do. We're just judging people and being very hurtful. And Jesus is saying, you're a hypocrite. You're doing the same thing. He's saying, get yourself straight. And then if you would judge yourself on that issue, now go ahead and judge that person. And so it's just like when he told that group of jerks, the one without sin cast the first stone. So, yeah, good communication and being compassionate is, I think, a much better way to go. Yeah.
Right. And that's we had talked about that, you know, in the earlier part of the show, that, you know, could be just so harmful and so mean and just, you know, evil the way that we talk about people. And it's because maybe we want to be seen in that light. Maybe we talk about people because we don't know how to address them. And as Reverend Ron was saying, we have to observe people, see exactly, you know, what's going on and what may be going through their mind or what may be going on with them during that day. And as I had said earlier, hey, you know, don't judge me because, you know, I'm going to turn right around and probably judge you even harsher. So, you know, but we don't think about that when words are flying out of our mouth. Rude words and mean-spirited words are coming out of our mouth. So we need to be a little bit more careful and a little bit more thoughtful in the words that we use and observe people before we have things come out of our mouth. True enough?
Exactly. And remember, they were ready to launch those stones. They were ready to pummel. Mm-hmm. They were ready to bury that woman under a pile of rocks. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, wait one moment.
Wow.
Just before you do that, you without sin cast that. Because they had probably been having sex with her too.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we don't know exactly what he wrote in the sand, as it were. But there's a very good chance they had been doing the same thing, and that's why he called them hypocrites. And they didn't like that. And let me give you one other one. The term whited wash tomb, that is one of the most degrading statements that one could make, especially toward the dignitaries. You know, he says you look like those nice whitewashed tombs. They look all nice and white on the outside, but on the inside they have dead people's bones, the stinking, rotting flesh of human decay. And, boy, I mean, that pissed them off. They were in a fury. Remember, at one point, they were going to push him off the cliff. They were going to kill him. Who do you think you are talking to us like this? You know? And but he was perfectly right. He was dead. He was spot on, as they say. And so as the pastor was asking, which is fantastic, the standard is us. We are the standard. Mm-hmm. If we would judge ourselves by the same judgment we want to judge others, then Jesus says, go ahead. If you would judge yourself the same way, go ahead. And most of us won't do it because we know we wouldn't do that.
Right. Right.
Yeah, so it's a grand teaching. That's phenomenal teaching. But look here, I've got to run right now, but I will be back tomorrow and check for you, okay?
Okay, all right, I'm here. I'll be here finishing up like I usually do. So I appreciate you coming on and, you know, being part of the show this evening. And as always, look forward to, you know, hearing from you tomorrow night when we're on at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern with Reverend Ron and Bible Study. So we'll see. We'll hear from you tomorrow.
Yeah, and let me just say this. That was a good show you put on. Well, you always put on a good show, but the one with all those guests you had, I think that may have been for MLK's recognition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that
Sergeant
was.
Sergeant Park, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed hearing as much of that as I listened to. About an hour, so I heard virtually all the major speakers. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Oh, good.
Hats off.
Good.
Well, look, have a good evening, and thanks a lot.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Thank you so much for coming.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so how to break the judgment habit. Okay, so if you recognize your tendency towards judgment, here are a few tips to break that habit, as I said earlier. Take a moment to understand where the other person is coming from and why they may look or behave the way they do. No matter what they look like, sound like, or act like, everyone is struggling with something. What did I talk about last week? I struggle with. Seems like all these things seem to come in together, which is good because we all have demons. We all have struggles. We all have judgment. So I'm just trying to help us recognize, you know, and bring to the forefront things that we may need to work on. So, I mean, I struggle with, a lot of people struggle with a lot of things, gambling, sex, drugs, driving down the road and fussing folks out. Every day, waking up, one gentleman called in and said he struggles with single women raising young men. You know, where are the fathers in their lives? He was wondering, you know, where have they gone? Most of them may be in jail for things that they may not have done, for things that they have done, and now the woman has left home, or they were never actually a part of the young man's life to begin with. They dropped the bomb on the young lady and then ran for cover and, you know, didn't get hit. So, but then the woman was hit and she had a son to raise or a daughter to raise. Or, you know, it's just hard a lot of times for women to raise sons because they are not men. So I might talk about where are the men? You know, where are all the men? You know, where have all the flowers gone? Where are all the men? Where have they gone to? Where can we find a few good men, you know? So that's, you know, what we're going to be talking about. So this Thursday, I don't know what I'm going to talk about yet. You know me. I'll come up with something. Number two, try to recognize your own insecurities and work on building yourself up instead of tearing others down.
Does their behavior mirror your own? Can you start by learning how to create more self-awareness? That's a good one. So we need to, you know, first we need to work on ourselves before we start talking about other people. But, you know, the first thing we do is talk about other people, because that is so easy, so much easier to talk about other people more than it is to talk about ourselves. If we had to stand up on stage, you know, and talk about ourselves, we'd look like, I was born on such and such a day, and I, when you could talk about, girl, do you know us? Did you hear what, girl, Sal, you know how they are. You know, we could talk so freely about other people, but yet when it comes to our own self and our own insecurities, it's hard for us to talk about them. I know it is, because even when I have words written out and I have to talk about them, it's even hard. But talk about your own self, that's a hard one. So this new year, a new you, you know, talk more about yourself and less about other people. That's probably what the best thing to do. Then you don't have to judge. You don't have to worry about, you know, people judging you, because they can't judge you when you're already put out there on the line all about you. You know you more than anybody else does. So, hey, talk about yourself freely, openly. You know, let the world see you for you. And, you know, if they judge you, then that's on them. You know, you open yourself up as a book. Let people read you. And then if they want to judge you, that's on them, because it's like, okay, they want to be like you, evidently, because now where are they? They need to get up on that stage of life as well and start talking about themselves, so that they can, you know, free themselves of all their wrongdoings and all their judgments and their judgmental ways. And that way, you know, do it one person at a time. And we're living in a unicorn, puppies and flower world. That's funny, isn't it? So, let's see, and let's go to number three from ArcadianCounseling.com says, examine your friendships and associations. Wow. Are they based on positivity or demeaning others? Are they lifting people up or are they bullying people? What are they doing? If the latter, disassociate yourself and focus on building connections based on positivity and mutual respect. As the saying goes, misery loves company. Yes, it does. So are you in the positive light? Are you in the negative light? Are you in the darkness? Is your good meter going towards the light, or is your meter going towards the left, the dark side? You know, you need to start having positive people around you. Find positive role models and positive groups and assemblies. You know, all that that meditation. So sometimes you may have to just start with yourself and just meditate yourself in a positive manner. And hey, I know you'll feel better. I know I would feel better if I started just talking all positive. People would get, you get on my nerve with all that positive stuff. You need to quit. Okay, you're just mad because you want to be positive and you're not positive. See, that's being judgmental already. You know, quit talking about all that positive stuff. Well, keep talking the positive stuff. You feel so much better. People say, why are you not stressed? I said, well, what am I going to be stressed about? I can't change what I can't change. I can only change what I can change. Well, that's true. That's so, so true. Yeah. I can't change what I can't change. I can only do what I can do. And that's it. I can't do no more. I can't do no less. I can do what God has given me and what I pray to change and make new and just, you know, help people out. Today, what did I do? Oh, today, as a matter of fact, I was wearing a sweatshirt. And it had Selena on it. And this girl said, well, where'd you get that from? I said, oh, well, it wasn't mine to begin with. My makeup artist
had left it, and I called her and, you know, told her that I had, and she says, oh, don't worry about it, you know, I'll get another one or what have you. And I said, well, do you want the sweatshirt? No, no, no. So I took the sweatshirt off, as cool as it was. I took it off and I gave it to her. She was like so elated. I said, it's okay. I'll get another jacket. Don't worry about it. So she was so, I think I made her day. So, you know, that bit of positivity may have changed her outlook on a lot of things, since her atmosphere. But, you know, one good deed deserves another. So, you know, you start doing positive things in the life, because life is too short. It's way too short to not do, you know, right. It's way too short. It's so funny because that's my next thing. Life is too short to spend it uncomfortable in your own skin. If you're struggling with negativity, there goes it again, struggle. Last week we talked about it, I'm struggling with, you know, so you need to go back and listen to that episode on I Struggle With. That was last Tuesday, a week ago, so the 10th of January. And go and listen to some of the things that people struggle with. And it may help you with some of your struggles as well. This may help you with some of your struggles. So, you know, hopefully we're doing the positive thing. It says if you're struggling with negative self-belief and a disconnect within, find an awesome therapist you like and trust to help you create and be the best version of yourself, not someone else. You can't be someone else. How are you going to be someone else? That's hard to be somebody else. You don't walk in their shoes. You don't look like them. You don't walk like them. You don't talk like them. You know, you got to be yourself, because and you have to be the best yourself that you can be. Because it's hard trying to be somebody else. Oh, I don't want to be like Mike. You know how hard Michael Jordan worked to get to where he was? Can you imagine you'd have to do double, triple, quadruple time work to get to be like him? He worked hard. Number 23 of the Chicago Bulls worked hard to get to where he was and do what he did. You can make your own mark on the world. Don't be judgmental of other people. Don't be judging people, because it's going to come right back around and nip you in the bud. B-U-D, not the B-U-T-T, but that too. But anyway, so you need to just think about, you know, going out and getting some positive quotes, you know, some non-judgmental quotes, you know, because I'm sorry, but the world comes to an end sooner than we think. You know, it may not be in my lifetime, but hey, it might be after I leave, but time is winding up. That's what we talked about also on Sunday. You have to choose. You have to choose if you want to be judgmental. You have to choose if you want to be positive. I hope you choose the positive, because, you know, being judgmental, it's not pretty. It's not a good look on you. Take that judgmental face off, you know, face off, just like that show with Nicolas Cage and John Travolta, face off. Take off those other faces. Take off those other layers. Get rid of your weight, you know, release some of that pressure. You will feel so much better. Take that scowl and that frown off your face. Take those V's out the your forehead, you know. Wipe them away, you know. Take both your hands and just wipe them above your eyebrows and take those frown lines out. You'll feel so much better. Just imagine if you could get rid of those things that are holding you down and holding you back. You'll feel so much better. But what, you don't have the job that you want? Maybe it's not for you to have a job that you want. Maybe God has something else in store for you. Hey, I know I'm happy where I am. I wanted to be a fashion designer, and I have a house full of clothes. So y'all can, you know, DM me, call me up, you know, come by my house when I'm there. I make an appointment to see what I have, because I've got a ton of clothes that I have that I'm selling. So, you know, come by. And you can DM me at Inez or Miss Inez or Anais.Kou, A-N-A-I-S-E-J-A-L-C-O-U-R, and come by and see what I have. I have men's clothes. I have women's clothes. I have clothes for days, unique clothes, unique items that you probably won't see too many places or anywhere else, as a matter of fact. But, you know, what's out there for you is going to be for you. So, you know, quit judging people. You know, because it's just not a good look. It is just not a good look, you know. It's just not. As I said, life is too short to spend it uncomfortable in your own skin. You know, that's why you have all these aches and pains and, you know, these stresses and heart palpitations that you never had before, because you're stressing too much. You know, you might be judgmental of the people at work. You might be judgmental of your boss. You're probably judgmental of yourself. I got to get this done. If you don't get it done today, it'll be there tomorrow. If you're gone, someone else is going to take it on. So you might as well take a chill pill and, you know, take it easy and do what you can do. And just say, hey, I'm trying to get this done, but hey, I need more time. Wow. I'm sorry. The house that I'm in has got this nice fan that goes on, and the only way that you won't hear it is if I put myself on mute, and then you won't hear me. You'd like that probably. Just kidding. Anyway, but, you know, you've got to quit struggling. You know, if there's things out there you're struggling with, get a therapist. Turn to someone who you can talk to. If you have a bestie, a best friend, a BFF, you know, forever, you know, anybody you can talk to, your spouse, your boyfriend, your girl, your friend girl, your guy friend, anybody. Sometimes just getting that talk started, getting stuff off your chest is so helpful. It is so relieved. It's just like, oh, you can almost put your head down and just spin your head around from the right into the left, you know, just get that, those pains off your back, because people are so stressed. Prices are going up, rent, food, everything else. We're going to be priced out of our life, you know. That's what's going to happen. We're gonna, even the dollar store isn't a dollar anymore. It's $1.25. Wow. So you guys, you got to get right, church, and let's go home. I keep saying that. If you don't get right, you're not going home, you know. Plain and simple. Get right, church. Get right, people, you know. Quit being mean to people. Quit being judgmental. Quit struggling. Quit thinking about, you know, ending your life. You can always call 988, which is the suicide prevention hotline, because we want you here. We want you here. We do. We want you here. We just, you know, we want you here. But that's basically the show for today, y'all. Don't judge me. You know, the struggle is real. It is so real. So the announcement for this week. Yes. January the 18th, tomorrow is Bible study, the gathering of God's kingdom people, taken from Matthew 6:10, led by Reverend Ronnie Marshall from the True Worshippers Ministry out of Little Rock, Arkansas. And that time is 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, January the 19th. Oh, tomorrow's my daughter's birthday. Wish her happy 37th birthday. Happy birthday, baby. Love you. Mooches. And muches. On Thursday, January 19th, Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. Don't know what I'm going to talk about yet, because I don't know what may hit the hotline, and I just may, you know, bring up the subject or something. No telling what's going to be in the news or anywhere else. And then this January the 22nd, which is Sunday, we have Fourth Sunday Service, Reverend Ronnie Marshall. Out of this, like I say, True Worshippers Ministry coming to us on Sunday. And on the 24th and the 26th of next week, Let's talk about what Miss Inez says. That's Tuesdays and Thursdays until Sergeant Parks comes back in February. January the 29th is the fifth Sunday service. We have Pastor W.F. Pride Jr. out of W.F. Pride Ministries out of Yakima. And again, that's going to be 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And Tuesday, the last Tuesday of the month, guess what? Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. Well, we don't know. If there's a topic you'd like to talk about, email me, snail mail me, DM me, you know, text it to me. You know, if you want something to talk about, just let me know. I'm open to suggestions. And you want to support Reverend Ronnie Marshall. As you heard him earlier, he's in the studio, and he's getting ready to make his video on Jesus Has Made Me Whole. So, but look forward to him releasing that video. So in order to keep Let's Do It Radio on the air, you can donate to Cash App at $ANAISEDALCOUR or to Venmo at @MZ-INEZ or Zelle me. Yes, you can Zelle me if you know my telephone number or email. You can do that just as well. And we are also open to sponsorships. If you want to become a sponsor, send me an email to Let's Do It Radio, and we will send you out a sponsorship package, and we can talk about what your sponsorship would be about. So thank you, thank you, thank you again. In case you miss an episode, and if you're interested in past episodes, or you want to share them or listen to them again and again and again and again and over and over and over and over, you can go on demand to www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do It Radio, and you can choose the episodes of your liking. You can share the episodes, talk about it, and just peruse the whole list and, you know, see what you like and listen. Worldwide listeners have been tuning in to what seems to be the Let's Do It Radio segments on relationships for a few months now. So I appreciate each and every one of you joining in and listening to how we handle some of those relationships and the role plays that we've been doing. You can also email us or you can listen online on each night, or go to the chat room and talk to me as well, as we have Wise as Serpents has been joining me for the last few days, and I appreciate that person joining me and discussing a lot of things. I've been educated, as a matter of fact. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And maybe you can email me at letsdoitradio@gmail.com if you have a topic you'd like to discuss, or maybe even host with me. I really appreciate that. We could be discussing your topic, so hit me up at letsdoitradio@gmail.com. And you already know what's going to happen. I want to thank each and every one of you online in the chat room, texters and worldwide listening audience as well for joining in. If you have something on your chest, of course, don't keep it to yourself. Join us on Tuesdays and Thursdays. On Miss Inez Says, let's talk about it. We might just discuss a topic that you want to talk about. And my brother from another mother, Joe, has just rejoined us. So what would you like to talk about, Brother Joe?
Are you closing up shop
Joe?
Now?
Yeah, we only have less than about 30 minutes. Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Joe?
Are you closing at midnight, or are you closing up now?
I was closing now because, I mean, we went through everything, unless you want to talk
okay.
some more about something. You got something on your mind? About judging?
No. I just finished what I was doing, so I thought I'd come back and, you know, and participate, but it seems like you're closing up.
You can participate, Solution just hung up. We got through talking with him, and we were on with Reverend Ron, and Solution's going to join us tomorrow in Bible study and talk about Matthew, the 6th chapter, I think the 7th verse. I got to see which verse it was. Matthew 6. Let me see. The Reverend Ron is holding Bible study. So it's the 10th verse. So it's Matthew 6, chapter, verse 10, The subject is the gathering of God's kingdom people. So that's what it is.
Are you
going to be talking?
Mm-hmm. Are you going to have any shows on politics or relationships anymore?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the one even tonight was kind of on relationships with different people, but politics I'm not the best on. So, I mean, if you have something on politics or whatever, you know, that you want to discuss or have a person who will come on and talk, that's fine as well. By what relationships is one you want to talk about?
The topic that I find important are, again, how do you attract a good person? How do you maintain the relationship? And what causes the breakup?
And you weren't on when I talked about maintaining. You weren't on. We can make it. Yeah, we talked about conflict resolution.
I was there for
that. We had for conflict resolution 1 and 2.
Well, I don't know about 2.
Mm-hmm. And then I struggle with what? Boom, 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 boom. We have a few people calling on that. And the gratitude and appreciation for others. We talked about that. Walking in grace. That's what you wanted to talk about. Let me see. Oh.
Well, you know what? I'd like to hear what Eddie, Key, and Bree have to say about the various topics.
I don't know if they'll be coming back, really. Because I think someone kind of shooed them off. Mm-hmm.
Who shooed them off?
Not sure. It wasn't sure.
Who did it? Who? You? Me? Reverend Ron?
No. It wasn't our normal core. It was the other core, Igor.
Igor.
Yeah, that's just the name I just said.
Oh, you're talking. Oh, I see what you mean by shoo them off. You mean? Oh, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like they don't want to come when a certain person's there. Okay.
Yes. Mhm. Mhm.
Yeah, I hear that. Believe me, I know what you mean.
I mean.
So yeah, I understand. I thought you meant that somebody was saying, "Hey, let's go to another program," or you know. Okay.
Mm-mm, no.
So we got Igor. That's his new name?
No. Stop it.
Oh, boy. All right.
Don't judge me.
Don't judge. Just about to say that. Don't judge me. Yeah.
Don't judge me.
No, but.
We had a good conversation with Reverend Ron because we talked about, we went to the Bible and Tuition was talking about the Bible verse, Matthew 7:1. And of course I had at the beginning of the show talked about Luke 6:37. And so we went back and, was talking about Matthew 7:1 and then 7 and 5, and we talked about all those in between. It was a good session. I was glad that Reverend Ron was on the line to kind of
I like his perspective.
As far as everything. Right.
Yeah, I like his perspective on relationships. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
yes.
See, those are the only things that I'm interested in now. I'm only interested in exploring why, you know, the two factors that I believe are the ruination of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
One is trauma. The
mm-hmm.
other one is selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to get down to the nitty gritty. I want to find out what other people are thinking about it. And then maybe as a collaboration that we can come up with
mm-hmm.
some answers. Because nobody's come
what
up with any real, well, I can't say nobody. Maybe some psychologists, some psychiatrists have. But relationships are in such poor state that there's only, in my opinion, only really two core factors that are an umbrella for the rest of the other factors that
mm-hmm.
encompass the major two factors. Look, either you're selfish, okay, like entitled,
mm-hmm.
or you're suffering from trauma, which makes you reject good relationships. So one of them is he's so selfish, you can't live with another person mm-hmm. because you don't recognize the other person's needs. So, you know,
right,
those kind
exactly.
of people have to be, like in mm-hmm. Reverend Ron's words, they have to be trained. They have to be molded. They have to be taught how to act like a real human being. So those are the only things that I'm interested in with regards to relationships and politics. I'm only interested in solutions to what's happening today. What's happening today is something which is incredible. So those are my pursuits.
Okay.
And if you can get a political candidate on your show, I wouldn't mind grilling them like I did with Joe Gibson. Even worse, though.
Oh, gosh. And he listens on occasion, I do believe.
I believe
he listens on occasion. Because mm-hmm. we all see his number pop up. He goes into the chat room, basically.
Oh, okay. I talked to him in private about 2 weeks ago. He's thinking about running for Congress again. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
You know? So, like I said, those are the only things. If you're going to close up shop, then, I guess I'll go before you start saying prayer.
No prayer. No, because I was already getting ready. I was at the point where I was going to say, I have been your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Aqua Designs. And you can find me on www.anaisedalclur.com, on Facebook and on Instagram. And then the thought of the evening is, it's not what others think of you that matters. It's what God knows. When he first thought of you, I'm sure as a conqueror, a champion, an overcomer, or as a son or a daughter, those are a few that come to mind. So, you know, that was part of, that's why I picked that one. And that comes from my boss, J. Rick Rollins II, Random Thoughts, 30 Thoughts While Thinking Out Loud and Collecting My Thoughts by Rick Rollins II. And you can purchase that at textbookx.com. And he has some other publications also out that he has. So he wrote in this book and gave it to me some random thoughts. So I use them at the end of my program. So it's kind of helpful. It's kind of good. You know, it helps me kind of end the program on a good note, on a real good note. But I really appreciate the people who come out and listen. And I'll find some other things on relationships type of thing. I'm just trying to think because we've talked a lot about a lot of different relationship theories and conflicts and resolutions and roundtables and are you dateable? You remember those? Are you dateable?
I remember that. The demons and all
things.
Of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and you say you want to talk about trauma and
recovering
from trauma.
My thing is, it's the two core reasons why relationships do not stay together is because of one, selfishness, the other one, trauma. Two of them. Everything else is part of it because if people were not selfish and if the other person were not selfish, two people are unselfish. They'll find a way mm-hmm. to solve conflict and to stay together. Now, if a person has too much trauma in their life, no matter how well you treat them, and this is from people who have been sexually molested and who have undergone trauma,
mm-hmm.
they have said
mm-hmm.
that they can't respond. They won't respond to,
normal,
good, healthy feelings. They can't. Yeah. And hurt people
mm-hmm.
hurt people. So if we
right.
can, wouldn't that be funny if on your show we could find a way to actually make a dent in the walls that traumatized people put up? We would actually be
and
doing a service
I'll talk
for
about,
mankind.
Did I not talk
huh?
about hurt people, hurt people? Did I not talk about hurt people, hurt people?
We mentioned
did
it a few times,
that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we didn't go into depth.
You didn't talk about it?
No, we didn't go into real depth.
I thought we had. Okay.
No, you were talking about symptoms. You were talking, like, on your... Normally, you talk about, here are the symptoms about whatever topic is the topic for that night, and then you read a list,
mm-hmm.
and then we discuss it, you know. I want to get beyond the symptoms. I want to talk about, okay, here are the symptoms. What are we going to do about it, you know? Usually, we focus on, do you notice these symptoms? And have you ever seen anybody with them? Do you have them? And we take a lot of time talking about that. I just want to say, how do you handle, how do you handle being rejected? How do you handle the fact you can't be in a relationship? You're sort of like Alcoholics Anonymous, like you have a group setting and we have people talk about
mm-hmm.
what their particular opinions would be. Because theoretically, you're supposed to help people overcome their problems.
Right, when you talk about it. And I think that's kind of what I was trying to do with Key at that one point. Remember when she was just really at a low point in her time? So hurt people. So I'll do that.
Yeah.
That's what I'll do on Thursday. I'll do that on Thursday.
Okay. And then maybe Key and Eddie will come back and then, we can, for example, I don't think Key will object if I ask her, probing questions like, Key,
mm-hmm.
how come you were in a in a relationship for 18 years and the man wasn't, you knew the man after a while was not good for you. Why did you
mm-hmm.
do it? And she might say, well, I don't want to talk about it, which would be, okay. Huh?
But I thought she did talk about it. Remember, she did talk about it.
But not in depth, Inez. She talked about, I was with him for 18 years. As a result, I don't, I have
mm-hmm.
very little patience with men, is her, is how she came out of it. And you can't blame her for doing that. But I would like to know a little more,
mm-hmm.
and not just about her business, but what happened to her has happened to hundreds
mm-hmm.
of thousands of millions of men and women in the country. We
mm-hmm.
all have come across somebody who has not appreciated us or who has made us think that they have when they, when they didn't think of us the same way we thought of them. And, to have a ground, to have a group, have a group discussion might be, I'm not saying it absolutely would be, but I've never been in a discussion like that. And I thought maybe it might be helpful.
Okay. Cause I'm sending a message to them saying Thursday's topic is going to be hurt.
How do we overcome selfishness and trauma?
Hurt people.
Can you mention selfishness and trauma? Because those are the two umbrella terms that encompass even hurt people. How do we overcome?
That can be under there. We can go more into depth about it because, the show is 3 hours, so.
All right.
Live light for you to be there. Okay. I sent a message to him. So Thursday topic is going to be hurt people, and Joe would like for you all to be there for the discussion. Be there.
And Joe, you don't say that. They might not show up now.
You're fine. You're not that.
I'm not Igor. Okay.
No. So we good. We are good. So, that's good. It was a good show tonight. It was really good. I really appreciate everybody.
Well, you enjoy the religious shows. I don't show up for that. I don't enjoy religious shows.
No, it wasn't a religious show tonight. It wasn't.
Judging.
So it just came from the Bible, right? That, judge judge not that you be not judged. And so that's kind of where we came from. But then it went farther into that, and that's where I got my information from Shola Richards and the Arcadian counseling.com. So that's how I got my, okay, because you weren't there for these last ones. The last part was making things right. I have been on the wrong side of the harsh judgment before. This is Richard, excuse me, and I know how much it can hurt. Did you hear that already, that part?
I think that was I might have heard that just before I got on the radio with you. But
that was like at the end.
It was?
And so that, yeah, this is, here are four common reasons that explain the particularly bad habits of judging other people. And so it helps us feel superior. It helps us recognize our goals. You heard that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it helps,
remember,
it helps
I commented
us recognize
on it.
Our goals. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. No. Okay. How to break the judgment habit. That's the part that I was talking about. Okay. It says, if you recognize your tendency towards judgment, here are a few tips to break that habit. Take a moment to understand where other person is coming from and why they may look or behave the way they do, no matter what they may look, sound, or act like. Everyone is struggling with something. There it goes again. I struggle with, and that's what I talked about. It says to recognize your own insecurities. What?
I struggle.
What is?
What do I struggle with? What do I struggle
with? That was last week.
Oh, okay.
That was last week. And we may go into it again because people are always struggling, so we can do part two. We can always do a part two. And to recognize our own insecurities and work on building yourself up instead of tearing others down. Does their behavior mirror your own? You can start by learning how to create more self-awareness. 3, examine your friendships and associations. Are they based on positivity or demeaning others? If the latter, disassociate yourself and focus on building connections based on positivity and mutual respect. As the saying goes, misery loves company. Then I said, life is too short to spend it uncomfortable in your own skin. If you're struggling with, struggling again with negative self-belief and a disconnect within, find an awesome therapist you like and trust to help you create and be the best version of yourself. Not someone else, but someone you think you should be, because you can't be nobody else but yourself. So that's what we talked about. That was the last two that we talked about. Then I went to my announcement.
Yeah, okay. You know what's nice, too?
Yeah.
You just made me think of something when you said pick a therapist
that
you trust and like. Now, how do you know you can trust the therapist if you haven't been with the therapist for, a few months or so?
Well, you could always ask, your friends, if you have friends or something, and sometimes somebody knows somebody who knows somebody. So if the person who knows that somebody trusts them and knows them, then that's a good end for you. If you have to go on your own, and start picking and choosing and digging, that may take a while. A therapist can be, can be a person like me or you who will sit there and listen and, won't be judgmental to that person. That's how I feel. That way somebody could just, pour out their heart, because sometimes that's all a lot of people need. They just need to have that warm body there for someone to talk to and at least kind of acknowledge the fact that, yes, you are going through this. Is there something I can do to help? So that's how I feel. I did on last Tuesday. I struggle with, and I may do another part two of I struggle with, because people struggle with a lot of things. They just don't want to talk about it. And
that's true.
One person came on and they said they struggle with the fact that young women who young mothers who have young boys and don't have fathers in their lives, you know. He struggles with, you know, the woman raising a young man. They don't have the male figure in their life. So I thought that was rather interesting. And, you know, some other people did come on and talk about what they struggled with. But, you know, I think more people, you know, once they warm up to a lot of these topics and things, will join us, you know, more online. And then I do have a person who joins me in the chat room. Be Wise as Serpents is who they are.
Okay.
So,
you know what I would, you know what I would like to do?
What's that?
I've been offered a show. I've been offered a conservative show, which I can do once a week or twice a week if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to. But if I were to do a relationship show with that particular, you know, that offering as well, if somebody says, well, I'm struggling as a single mother raising boys to be men, I would be blunt and I would say, well, is your baby's daddy in your life? No. Did you have any idea that he promised to marry you? No. But you had sex with him? Yes. You didn't make him wear a rubber? No. You knew you could get pregnant? Yes. You got pregnant? Yes. You did not have an abortion? Correct. Then what do you expect if you don't have a father in your life? He's not paying child support. You got pregnant. You could have had an abortion, but you didn't. So you made bad choices. Why did you make the bad choice? You see, that kind of show you wouldn't want. You wouldn't like that because it would hurt people's feelings.
No, because, you know, you have to listen to their stories and see why people aren't in their lives or what happened. Some of them could have been raped, you know, but yet they don't like to have abortions regardless of how bad the situation that they got into was. And some people's like, okay, I just want a child and I don't want the daddy in the life. So it just depends on the person, the circumstance. But, you know, there could be a lot of things. The father may have passed away, you know, at a young age, or he may be incarcerated and can't, you know, be in the child.
Well,
life.
Then again,
sometimes,
it goes down outside. Well, outside of the man passing away, then the woman made bad choices, plain and simple. She didn't have to go to bed with the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that all boils down to trauma or selfishness.
Okay. And we may be able to talk about hurt people. You know, sometimes they just don't want that man in their life because they want the child, but they don't want the man in their life because he's just no good, but he didn't become no good until after the time after, you know what I'm saying? So they may have had a good life to start with, but then after a while, it's like, oh, heck no. He started beating me, you know, throwing me down the stairs, molesting my child. No, you just get out of that situation.
Okay, and that's a different situation. Sure.
That's what I'm saying. There are all types of different situations. So it all boils down to, like I said, their story. So you have to hear their story first before you can go through Dagnabbit. It was that, I can never think of it because I'm on to.
I don't know either. Dagnabbit.
You know, I thought the fish nut theory, you know, if it's this and it's this, you know, and I can't remember what the thing is, but I came across it before, but I can never remember what the actual, that's not the theory, but I'll have to look and see what it is. But it, basically, if you have an answer, then you go to the next answer. Then you keep on going down the line and gives you your outcome in the end. So I can't remember, but it looks like a fish. You know what I'm talking about? You probably remember it in school.
No.
Maybe you don't. Okay.
No.
All right. But no, I can't remember what it is. I have to go in there and look. Fish theory. I think it's fish theory. So, or why? I don't know.
What the heck are you talking about?
I thought we learned it in school, but it's the It's a diagram. It's like a fish diagram. Oh, I have to learn. I'm trying to remember what it looks like.
You remember as soon as we get off the air, probably.
You know I will. Diagram. Okay, here we go. Fish diagnosis. Fish diagram. Okay, the fish bone diagram is what it's called.
Never heard of it.
Cause analysis tool is considered one of the seven basic quality tools. It's called the fishbone diagram. Identifies many possible causes for an effect or a problem. That's what we call the fishbone diagram.
Oh, I like that. Fishbone diagram. All right. Good.
You may know it as the Ishikawa diagram.
Never heard of that either.
Yeah, I-S-H-I-K-A-W-A diagram. But it's called the fishbone diagram.
Oh, okay.
You see what it looks like because you have these situations and then that's how you get your answers and type of thing. I liked it. I really liked it. But
yeah, I like what you're saying about it. It's analytical, so I like it.
Very much so. Very, very much so. Okay, this is what it is. It says, come on. The fishbone, also called cause and effect diagram, Ishikawa diagram. Variations, cause enumeration diagram, process, fishbone, time delay, blah, 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 blah. The cause analysis tool is considered one of the seven basic quality tools. The fishbone diagram identifies many possible causes for an effect or problem. It can be used to structure a brainstorming session that you would do. It immediately sorts ideas into useful categories. That's what it's used.
Okay.
But, yeah,
well, I've thought of diagrams before. But I've never heard the formal term for it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. When you go online or whatever, you'll see what I'm talking about. You go, oh yeah, I can see where you see that now. But that's basically our show for the day. It was a good show. I appreciate all y'all. Yeah, all every one of you. But yeah, so tomorrow night, yeah, every one of you. So tomorrow night we have Bible study with Reverend Ron, Matthew 6, verse 10. And then Thursday we'll talk about hurt people. We're going to talk about trauma and selfishness. So we will talk about that. We'll do that.
All right. Cool.
So I throw it out there. Hey, if you want to talk about, let me know and I'll hit me up. So you always hit me up and I get my... my go from my people, you know, something to talk about. So thank you. But,
the things that I had. Yeah, thank you, too. I'm hoping that Keen Bree will come back and Rhonda, you know, your girlfriend will show up with a text. And, we have more in-depth discussions about... That's the only thing I'm interested in. How do you attract good relationships? How do you maintain them? How do you solve conflict? That's the only things I'm interested in.
Well,
you can't solve those three particular issues.
But
when we do, we go down a list of about six or seven different symptoms. And then we talk about them as opposed to, you know, what other people through their experiences might want to express. And to me, it's, I want to get beyond the discussion phase that everybody else does. I want to get down to the nitty gritty.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Maybe, I don't know if we could find a therapist or anything, but, you know.
That would be nice. If you know of any relationship counselor, you know, they are the ones who who say that they have clients and they help. You should bring them on your show. Oh my God, I think I would expose them as being useless, or at least some of them as being useless.
You're so bad. All right.
Good night, Inez. You take care. All right.
All right. That happens
when
it's time up for us. I'm here. You know that happens when the music gets louder after the time goes off. So, but yeah, I'll see what I can do. See if I can't find a relationship specialist or somebody who would come on. And we could talk to them, or they may have some solutions, just as long as you don't tell them that they're useless.
Yeah, that would be nice. But let them know that you've got a skeptic and a cynic in the house, and they're just not going to accept any old explanation that comes out of their mouths as truths.
Okay, so we got judgmental people.
We have what?
Judgmental people.
What kind of? Oh, yeah, you got that right. I am judgmental. I don't want to hear any
more
nonsense from people who proclaim to be in the healthcare industry and think they're experts. They don't have a degree. They don't have a certificate, but they espouse their theories. Yay. I told you one relationship counselor who said what a man has to do is protect and provide for the women. All a woman has to do is just bring the beauty. That's it.
Mm.
Nothing else.
Mm.
That's our relationship counselor who's advising people. Woman, all you've got, you're beautiful. You've got to be treated like a princess. Men, you have to treat her like a princess. And she had no animosity towards men. She wasn't like a man hater. She was just a female advocate. And she was just preaching this stuff. And I'm going, wait, don't you think women have to bring something to the table, you know? And she was, and then she left BTR to do webinars. I don't know if she got successful at it, but good luck to her.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, interesting.
And you know another thing too.
All right, fine.
There was a relationship.
What?
Okay, time's up. Okay.
No.
I'll
go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. There was another relationship counselor who wrote a book. She was a male advocate, and she was talking about how any man can get any woman to be interested in him. Any man, any woman.
Oh, really?
So I said to her, so you're saying if I was a homeless person and I approached the queen, that somehow because of these techniques or your whatever you wrote in your book, she would become interested in me. She says, yep. So what happened was, a little while after that, I said to her either that time or maybe a show after, and I said, what you should do, and I forgot her name, what you should do is if you have men who have read your book and have followed the techniques and been successful, we should have a show with them. So she said, okay. So we scheduled a show to have them come on.
Uh-huh.
She said, Joe, you can, you know, it's going to be on, it was on a, going to be on a Tuesday. I forget which date. This was months and months ago. I show up.
Uh-huh.
She's not there.
She's not there. Okay.
She hasn't been back to BTR since. At least I haven't found her.
Wow. Interesting.
But she did write something interesting, you know, and it's and the book is being sold on Amazon. How to get a man to get a man of any, you know, to get any, almost any woman or just about any woman to have the woman interested in you. It doesn't mean that you're going to get married. You're going to have a hot, breathy love affair, but to get a woman to be interested in you and go out on a date. So I'm saying that sounds pretty good. You know, let's have the men talk about it. And no show.
Okay. No show.
If I find her, I'll invite her to your show.
If you find her, yeah.
If I find her.
Mm. Mm, 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 mm. Mm, mm, if you find it.
Because
you'll remember who she is.
Because psychiatrists and psychologists and authors have been talking about love and romance and relationships for decades. But nobody's come up with any real definitive answer. I would like to know what the hell the definitive answers are. Because with the 53 to 56% divorce rate for first-time losers, and then the second time they get married, it's even higher. Nobody's got the answers. And yet everybody's an expert.
Of course.
How do you get to be an expert if you can't solve a problem? Not you, but how do people who write the books claim to be relationship counselors, claim to be psychiatrists, and people still getting divorced like crazy? An expert's supposed to solve problems, not to have a lousy win record. Would you hire somebody as a basketball coach if they're if their win loss record for 5 years as a coach was wins 20, losses 98? Would you hire that coach? No. So why would people, why do people still continue to listen to psychiatrists, psychologists, relationship counselors, if the plight in America is still sucks?
Wow. What can I say?
Well, that's all I have to
say. That's all you have to say, because I don't profess to be a...
I'm not even
counselor.
Referring to you. You're not. You're a religious person. Yeah.
I am a person who's just trying to get people together and see what they've encountered as far as the topics that I bring out. And
exactly.
So have,
you're not
you
the
know,
expert.
No.
Nobody can point a finger at you and say, hey, Inez, if you're such an expert, then how come the people that you have as clients, how come they're still getting divorced and they're still miserable? Nobody can point that finger at you.
Nope, not at all. Not at all. I don't be professional.
So see, it pays not to be an expert sometimes, Inez. I can honestly say you're not an expert in relationships.
And doctors are still practicing.
Yeah, right? I know.
They practice
you talk about
doctors.
Yeah, do you talk about doctors? Do you know that doctors, medical doctors, according to some statistics, they do over 200,000 avoidable mistakes every year, ranging from death of their patients. Avoidable. In other words, they actually make mistakes. There's a mistake that could be avoided because they have the training to do what's right. They make mistakes. In other words, they're incompetent. 200,000 mistakes, very significant medical mistakes every year due to incompetence. And yet, we still keep going to the people in the white coats thinking that they have all the answers. And they don't either.
Wow. That's all I have to say is wow. Wow. That's all I got to say.
What? Why? Are you? Did I leave you breathless or something?
No, it's just statistics. No, it's just statistics because, I work for Blue Cross. I work for IBM and I work for Greenway. And, you know about these things, but you don't know about these things until, it really is brought to light that how the many thousands and everything, all this other stuff. So that's why it's like,
you can you're a researcher. You can look it up on Google. Look up avoidable mistakes, annual avoidable mistakes by doctors.
Okay. Because, Solution wanted me to look up something about bourbon and whiskey bourbon or whatever. I'm not doing it. I did do it, but I'm like, we'll see. We will see. I'll do it just because. I shall see. But anyway, let me get going because I have to get up and take my grandson to school in the morning. So I'm nanny sitting. So yeah, I am nanny sitting. So I want to bid you good night. And until we meet on Thursday, get all your little questions and everything together because I'll be ready for them. And hopefully we'll have a packed house or a few people anywhere on the line so we can discuss what we need to discuss. Who? Brother Joe? 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 Have a good night, and we will see you on tomorrow night for Bible study. Wednesday night Bible study, January 18th, 2023. Happy birthday, my daughter. It's your birthday tomorrow. Good night.